The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Gabe from Thinking Outside the Long Box, and this podcast would not exist without the help of our Patreon supporters. Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, and Steve, thank you guys so much for participating with us at patreon.com/TOTLB. You have no idea how amazing it feels that you guys support our show. We want everybody to participate with us, so be sure to go to patreon.com/TOTLB and help us out so that you too can be added to the roles of people that support the best goddamn pop culture podcast called Thinking Outside the Long Box in the world.
Hey guys, this is Jonathan from The Lamp Show. I really appreciate you guys putting my last call on the air. It helped clear my name of any wrongdoing, and now everybody knows that the person that they thought they knew was calling wasn't actually the person that I was pretending that I wasn't. So now when I'm calling now, everybody knows that that's somebody else and it's not the person that I am. So I really appreciate that, and thanks for supporting me in all of this. So anyways, I wanted to pay you guys back for all that you've done. So I'm going on a little trip here. I'm actually down in the woods to try and find out the real name of Clyde John Still. I'm going to go into their compound. I'm going to find it out. I'm gonna get on out there. I'm gonna do another recording once I get closer. That's it. Okay.
Live from the steamy bowels of Gabe's basement, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, Gabe, and Doyle. And maybe John will be on later if that's possible. I'm not sure because it's nighttime and that's weird. It confuses me and I'm a little high.
I want to follow him around for the day and just see how many things he roundhouse kicks, because it has to be number of stuff.
It's probably more than normal people, because more than one is more than normal people.
Oh, hey, we're recording.
I roundhouse zero things a day.
Usually.
You can't even get your foot up for a roundhouse kick.
Is that a dare?
Yeah.
Nah.
I'll get my foot up higher than yours.
There's nothing that says a roundhouse kick has to be high. Yeah. You could roundhouse someone to the shin.
You could roundhouse somebody in the ankle.
Yeah.
Could roundhouse the ground.
That was the
in
best ankle roundhouse kick I've ever seen.
Honestly, if you play the first Mortal Kombat, the little spin trip move that Scorpion does is like the best move in the whole game.
Oh, where he just trips you over and over again?
Yeah. There's no defense.
And it's stupid.
It's like the crane kick.
I remember why I hate playing you in Mortal Kombat. No. I don't we ever. Hey, everybody.
Right,
welcome
Steve.
To episode 78 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. This is Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm Doyle.
I'm
he's catching oil. Freaking the fuck out on his venom bag over there. He's like, what the fuck is this thing?
They got into that catnip.
That's fucking nice. Cats.
They're like,
you know me in a bag here pretty soon.
No, I'm not. It's not my fault you put it over there.
It's your fault. You got.
So I think
I think you got a cat problem.
I think we need to start with the most important news ever.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
Marvel has the rights to Conan the Barbarian.
Oh. I figured that'd be somewhere in your list. I didn't write it down specifically for that reason.
You're like, Gabe's got
that one. Yeah, Gabe's got it covered.
Talk about like what's probably the easiest comic book movie to make and the one they just haven't done in a really long time.
So they were supposed to make a Conan the King with Arnold
with
Schwarzenegger.
Arnold again.
Like they were talking
which
about
which they should, honestly.
They talked about it a shitload in like 2015 and that it was gonna be like the direct sequel to Conan the Barbarian as opposed to going Conan, like basically ignoring the James Earl Jones one.
Yes.
But then they just I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know if it just like died in development hell or
I haven't
just
watched
never
any Conan movies.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Is that a real sentence?
Dude, I think I've seen them over 100 times each.
The next
as a child.
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen any fucking movies over 100 times.
So I'm going to say it right now. Our next So today we're doing, for Pop Culture Classic, we're doing Pale Rider, then Primer, then The Interview, and then we're watching Conan the Barbarian. Like, that decision just got made. That movie's fucking amazing.
And then we're back to
Jason.
Jason, okay. Yeah.
Cool. Probably choose another Western. He seemed like a Western guy.
It was good. We'll get there.
That wasn't a bad way. I like Westerns, too.
But yeah, Conan the Barbarian, going back to Marvel, which is – I saw somebody – somebody on our Facebook page, and I forget who it was leave it to Marvel to take something that Dark Horse did really good and then ruin the story, which I assume is an indictment of what they think of the Star Wars comic books.
Probably.
But in both cases, Marvel had the rights to both properties before Dark Horse had them. And the Marvel Star Wars comics were a lot of fun. And you can't tell me that the classic, like Conan the Barbarian, is straight up all Marvel shit. Like, all that Savage Sword is released by Marvel. The first, like, I would say the classic comic book is probably, like, the first 50 issues of the Marvel run. Like, the Dark Horse run is great. And, like, Kerry Nord and, oh, my gosh, the artist that did it.
I can't say I'm nearly as familiar with the comics as you are.
Crap. The lady.
Savage Sword stuff's there.
Damn it. I cannot remember her name. I'll have to look it up later. But they, like, revolutionized, like, the way Conan looks and acts and stuff like that. I 100% love the Dark Horse books. But I wouldn't be a Conan fan if it wasn't for the Marvel comics and Arnold.
Yeah, I saw Rio agree with you.
Yeah.
It's just nice to see Marvel pick up some of their properties back that hopefully they can make into good comics again, because their comic books have been lacking a little.
And that's the thing. That's the thing that I agree actually is a good sentiment, is that everybody thinks Marvel's out trying to buy everything, but they're just getting their shit back. Like, yeah, they fucking had to get rid of everything or they were going down.
They were
going
to go out of business.
And this is just their shit. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, I don't know. I like that sentiment.
And it breaks up some of the monotony of, like, just the overwhelming amount of X-Men shit that's coming out. And
it's not just Avengers and X-Men anymore. Yeah. Now they they have Star Wars again, which I've heard very few people complain about.
The Vader books are really good.
Exactly. Like, people like the Vader books. I know a lot of people were liking the Princess Leia books.
Princess Leia, I thought, was probably the weakest of them all, honestly.
Captain Afro, or whatever.
I haven't read those ones.
Captain Afro?
No, that's a different...
They were going to make a comic Afro and then they got Samurai. High?
I like the both you told that joke right there. I was about 30 seconds behind with that joke. I was thinking about saying it.
That's a good anime.
But then I got high. See how it's like 2 minutes later.
Yeah,
like,
I got you. Yeah, you're good.
If you have to explain the joke, it's not funny. Oh, man. But yeah, I'm really excited to see that. So...
I think maybe the Conan movie – I wonder if that gives him Conan movie rights. Who put out Conan? Was that New Line or something?
Forever ago. I couldn't tell you.
I think the Lion Head is before it.
It might be an MGM movie.
The Roaring Lion?
Yeah.
I think. It's been so long.
All I know is that movie is 100% directed like an Italian like horror movie / Western with like – long, dramatic, musical scoring over landscapes like a la Lord of the Rings or... Yeah, just, man, such a good movie. The second one is totally, like... So the first one's rated R. Yeah. And, like, because they wanted to depict Conan as Conan is in, like, the books.
Yes.
Then they realized that they didn't make a ton of money off of it being rated R because so many kids were reading the comic books... that they made the sequel PG, and that's why you see such a huge difference in, like, tonality in the books. Or
it's
movies,
weird, though,
because
the second one, there's, like...
There's monster gore, but there's, like...
There's, like, titties, too.
No, not that much.
You can see through the, like...
See-through is different than...
I'm just saying that wouldn't be PG today, is all I'm saying.
Well, it would be PG-13.
It'd be you gotta remember,
it was made... A long ass time ago.
I just didn't realize it was PG. I was like, it seems more than PG.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of weird movies that are like that.
That came out
in like the 70s and 80s that are rated like PG, but you're like, oh, goddamn. Goonies. Goonies is a good example. That movie would totally be rated PG-13 nowadays because they fucking swear like crazy. That was rated PG for sure.
Yeah.
Well, they got that damn at the beginning. You know?
Yeah, but they just say damn.
He yells to him.
He yells to the
city. That's funny.
They totally almost kill him later in the movie.
I said son of a bitch like a couple days ago, and somebody's like, hey, watch your mouth. I was like, really?
I waved at a cop the other day, and he flipped me off with both fingers.
What?
What?
Yeah, he was sitting in front of my house in his, vehicle for like an hour. Like, I kept looking out there and being like, what the fuck's going on? Am I going to jail? It's the thing you worry about when you're brown. Yeah.
Especially in Greeley.
Yeah, so eventually I'm like, well, I got to go. So I go get in my Jeep and like back up slowly and wave at him, hoping not to get arrested or pulled over at any point. And he just double fingers me, like, boom.
What?
I was just like, okay.
That's like, crazy.
Yeah, totally weird. And I continued waving because it looks very bizarre, and then I drove off.
Well, what are you going to do, flip him off so that he can pull your ass over for real?
Like, it kind of blew me away because I've never really had that experience with a cop before.
You should have just been like, yeah. Okay, USA. Yeah.
you teach me to football?
Wow.
It was really weird. I don't even know if there was a cop now. Just looked like one. Just had a fake cop car.
Just some dude dressed as a cop waiting for his ex-girlfriend to come home.
So why is that fucking idiot waving at me?
Give him two fingers. Toast fingers.
Oh, man.
Motherfucker. Little finger's not long enough. Give it twice.
Oh, man. Speaking of cops, watch Bright.
I couldn't get – not that I couldn't go through it. I've just been tired every time I started watching it. I keep falling asleep.
So I liked it.
I liked it.
It's – so I enjoy the movie just because I like those things. I like cop movies and I like fantasy movies. But I think there's like a tonality mixture that they weren't quite sure how to handle. Like, do we want it to be funny Will Smith action movie or serious commentary on race relations in Los Angeles movie. So sometimes it was like super intense. And then like sometimes it was just Will Smith fucking around. Which, and you're like,
I was okay with it.
I was
it
okay
broke
with
up
it.
The seriousness.
It,
you know?
I was okay with it. I liked it. But there was just sometimes it's like I don't mind the super serious part. But sometimes it would throw it off because like it'd be super, super serious. And then like the orc would like drop a Drax level one-liner and you're like, huh, okay. I guess it's time to laugh now. So
they're about to get in the fight in the club, in the strip club, and it's them three behind the counter.
Yeah.
And he's like, we got to give him the girl. You know, they're arguing whether to give him the girl. And he's like, no, we're going through. The orc does.
Yeah.
And then he thinks about it. He's like, fuck it, we're going through. And then it makes me laugh, those little weird fucking moments. I like that. I like the breakup. In the
I got up to the point where they found the wand, and then I just crashed out. But it was good up to that point.
It's so cool, man. So the whole movie stays pretty it's action-packed. Like,
right.
It is a straight-up blockbuster movie. Like, this – Netflix absolutely could have put this into the movie theater and made money off of it. But it's action-packed. It's funny. There's just, like, this weird dichotomy where I'm like – sometimes it's really serious, sometimes it's super hilarious, and I'm not really sure which one it's supposed to be, but that's a really minor quibble.
So the only thing that disappointed me, when we were at San Diego Comic-Con last year, the trailer came out for it while we were there. They had fucking banners everywhere for this movie. Turns out now, I thought it was a TV show at first. I thought it was going to be a whole, like a series. I think it could be, or it could have been. That was my only thing. I was like, oh, this is a movie that kind of sucks because I was expecting something a little longer. But I enjoyed it. I really liked it. There was a lot of shit going on.
They're making
a
part two, and there's so much of the backstory about like the Shield of Light and the Prince of Darkness and all this stuff.
Well, and he picks up the wand. You don't know if he's a Bright at this moment anymore.
No, he's a Bright.
He
picks up the wand.
Well, but
the rules of being a Bright.
But they don't say anything after that.
The orc's like, you're a Bright. And then he's like,
nah.
I've
only seen like 40 minutes of the movie and I know he's a Bright.
So that's my.
No, I know, but I mean, I know we have our assumptions, but it's never, aside from like, you're a Bright and then that's it. You never really say anything.
the wand change color, right, which means he might be an evil
I like how the elves are dicks. Like, that part cracked me up.
The fucking rich dicks.
Aren't they
They're like
always
rich dicks?
Every...
No, these are like Legolas were like walking around. I mean, he's like...
Every fantasy game I've ever played...
All of the games are always assholes.
All of the elves in Lord of the Rings, except for Legolas, were fucking
and
dicks.
Legolas is
Elrond is real nice, so is the chick.
Except, no, she's not. The Elrond is kind of like...
She saves Frodo.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to save Frodo.
Yeah, and they don't want
the
Frodo there.
They don't want any of those people there.
Yeah, that's true. I guess
they make it real clear that, like, we helped you, now get the fuck out. Don't you have a ring to go drop inside a mountain?
I would do the same thing if some dude showed up at my house. He's like, I'm bringing all the evil in the world to your bedroom. I'd be like, you can get the fuck out of here.
At the end of the day, they come to help, but I feel like
at first they were dicks.
Yeah.
They're like, I guess we helped the short guys out.
This is probably going to affect us. We should probably do something.
You're going to watch these movies again.
I'm going to tell you, though, my favorite...
Even Elrond doesn't want to help, though. I mean, he's nice, but I don't think he wants to help all that
much. He's ready to retire.
Yeah.
He's like on his last day at work, and then like all shit hits the fan. He's like, really? Motherfuckers, really? I was about to be on a boat tomorrow.
I was about to be on a fucking cruise.
No, my favorite part of Bright, though, is at the very end, this isn't a spoiler, when they're in
the Smith dies?
No. I guess it's a spoiler that they live, but they're both in the hospital beds. And like the like Ministry of Magic guys come up. Will Smith looks at
I don't think you're allowed to say that. I think that's copywritten.
Oh yeah, my bad.
This is a Harry Potter thing.
I'm sorry, J.K. Rowling. I'm sorry.
The Overlord of Magical Affairs.
So Will Smith goes to the orc guy. He's all, "Don't say anything." And like, so, Officer Jacoby, and he just explains everything that happened
fast,
in the movies for like 3 minutes. He's just talking about, and this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and Will Smith's like, let them ask us questions.
So I don't think you know how this works.
It's really funny.
You know, when you're nervous, and so you're trying not to lie, and you're talking really, really fast. It's fucking hilarious.
It's funny. It's good. You should finish it.
I'm going to finish it, for sure.
It's definitely worth watching.
It's downloaded to my phone. I just got to
just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's what Juan say things.
Oh, well, I mean, I got a lot of things.
So do I. Because I downloaded... Netflix. So I took Facebook, the app, off of my phone. Like, I'm still getting on Facebook and stuff, but I'm not...
So weird to me.
I don't need it to ding at me like every 30 seconds.
No, I agree with you. I just turn off the notifications.
So
that's all I do.
I didn't want to dig through the app to figure that out. So, but I do like getting my news every day. And my friend Rob, who does Victorian Cutout Theater, was telling me about this app called NewsBlur. All right. Just sponsorship availability open, just so you guys know.
NewsBlur,
looking at you. Use your app. It's awesome.
Send us free stuff.
But basically what you can do is you can say, I want to get news from this source, this source, this source, this source, and this source. And then it just – every news story that they post, it goes to your phone. So one thing that makes that good is – on a day when I want to read about, you know, politics or whatever, I can just read like NPR or Reuters or whatever. But on days when I'm like thinking about comic books and want to read about comic books and stuff, I have CBR there. I have Cosmic Book News and stuff. And so it's kind of cool because I can like – there's nobody like kind of parsing out how my feed goes into my Facebook account.
Right.
Like it's just raw – everything that CBR posted, whether I'm interested in it or not, is going to come up.
Well, and that's why – so on my phone, if I were to open up my internet app, I have fucking –
just a buttload
of tabs. I have
a
bunch of tabs open all the time that I – it's Yahoo, CNN, it's whatever I might be happening to always check every single day because
For me, it's just a little easier because I just pop open an app and it says, you know, CBR has 53 news stories. I click on it and I scan the headlines and like, you know, the 15 cosplayers that look better than the actual Marvel characters, I don't care. But like, you know.
I care sometimes.
Marvel takes the rights to Conan back. Gabe really fucking cares. So it was cool. Like I probably would not have read about that until like tomorrow.
No,
if
I
didn't
was going to tag you in it. Yeah. And then I saw somebody else tag you
Dom,
in it. So I was like, all right.
Rio tagged me
in
it, so. Or no, Dom tagged me and Rio in it. There we go.
Speaking of Dom, holy crap, that video. I'm not going to explain what that video was.
Oh, yeah.
Which one? The dog one or the other one?
Know which one.
The speed bag or the chihuahua?
It was the chihuahua.
Oh, okay, okay. Man. The speed bag one was terrible. You must not be in that one. I took myself out.
The chihuahua one. Because I just woke up. I work night, so I just woke up. Yeah, I'm sure it's like a normal time of day for this. And that. But I don't screen it at all. It's like, oh, Dom sent you a video. Boom. Whoa.
Like, he'll be happy to hear that.
It mortified the shit out of me.
Then he's like, he sent me another one that's like, I promise this one is nothing bad.
Oh, the Kylo Ren one. The 16-bit Kylo Ren one, yeah. He sent me that one too. And I was like, he said, I promise you this one's not gross. I was like, I bet it is. Like, I bet he's just being a dick to me. And then I watched it. I was like, oh, spoiler alert, I haven't seen Star Wars yet.
You should, really. I think it's far better than the first one that came out.
I'm excited to see
Even though everyone hates it.
So that'll lead into my first thing. The Last Jedi took the spot for the sixth highest grossing domestic movie ever.
Yeah.
This week. For all the shit that it For all the shit that people are giving it on the internet.
Right behind Battlefield Earth.
It's
fuck you, dude. That movie fucking sucks. Look.
It's making a lot of fucking money. It's a shit ton of fucking money.
Dude, like, no matter what.
You can just put out a Jedi trailer and charge people to go see it and make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
But it is still good.
I enjoyed it.
I'm excited to see it. I really want to see it. I haven't had the opportunity yet. Getting Derby started back up was... This, like, over these last couple weeks, getting the kids back in school, like, the end of the holiday season is just crazy. I said the word derby, so she's going to sit there until I say we're not actually talking about derby.
We're talking about derby again. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
It was a decent, like, gangster pose, though.
That was pretty good. She's way photo. More fucking fun. I couldn't. First off, it would take me a while to get down like that, and then it would take me even longer to get my ass back up.
It kind of is like. Like, that's legit, like, 89 Snoop Dogg right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You just need a 40.
Bailey also hates Murder Was the Case.
What?
She thinks it's dumb and boring because they listen to, like, Kendrick Lamar.
Trap music.
Yeah. Everyone has terrible... What?
Yeah, Mel kind of likes trap music. She's like, oh, this isn't so bad. I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Are you a replicant?
How do I figure out if you're a robot?
I finally watched 2049, by the way.
Is it good?
Great movie.
Oh, dude.
Great movie.
Oh, Blade Runner.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like...
I finally watched it.
2049. Like, every time... So I have it saved on my streaming device.
It's fucking long.
Every single time I pull it up, this and Hateful Eight, both movies, I want to see them so fucking
bad. And Hateful Eight is not, there's no action in it.
No, that, like, I know.
Sparsely. So it,
Hateful Eight is hard to watch.
It's harder to watch because there's not so much. I still love the movie.
I know what Hateful Eight is, like that idea of, well, I mean, it's what I was saying with Conan. It's like that Italian style, long scenes of just like, you know.
People fucking talking.
Endlessly, and like
a lot more guys sucking guys' dicks than I expected.
But
and
like
Samuel Jackson just fucking loves it.
Hateful Eight and Blade Runner 2049. Every single time I pull them up, I was like, oh, can I stay awake for 3 hours? Like, I don't know. If I sit still for more than like about 45 minutes, I start nodding off. Like, oh no. I'm going to watch it.
It's good.
Because I love the original Blade Runner.
It's a good-looking movie.
I actually watched the original Blade Runner just a few days ago.
I haven't watched that in a
minute. That movie's very good.
It is. It's genuinely one of my favorite science fiction movies. So,
But yeah, Star Wars, nothing. I mean, nothing new there. We talked about Star Wars in the year at DARPA, but I just saw that come up on my feed today.
Kind of in the same vein, Star Wars, I watched the full run of, the 4 hours of... the Netflix kind of documentary series, The Toys That Made Us. I don't know if you guys...
I watched the first one.
Yeah, so the first one's about Star Wars. The second one's about Barbie, which like randomly is the best episode because I didn't know anything about it. So I learned so much crazy shit about how Barbie was like designed. Barbie is designed after a Swedish sex doll.
Oh, nice.
That like guys would buy for like their girlfriends and take to a date. And when you took this little doll to the date, it meant, we fucking
like on the date.
Well, after the date, probably. But
I like how that was an actual thing. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Here's a doll. Blow me.
Like, yeah, exactly. No, it's literally like a, hey, if you take this, like, this means we are having sex tonight. Like, that's kind of...
You just
kind of
nudge it on the table.
You just keep scooting it over.
She's like, get that fucking thing out of here.
Get that doll out of my face.
Oh.
Damn it. So close. No, you weren't.
Stop saying that.
Hate you. Pay for my dinner. I'm going home.
We're watching 250 episodes of Mythbusters because they had this giant fucking... I love Mythbusters. I fucking love it.
I guess.
But I love the shit. They do every Christmas. They do every single episode.
Right.
Back to back to back.
I can tell you some about it. Sometimes they bust the myths. Sometimes they don't.
But what that made me remind me of is they're doing a rocket myth and they're fucking pumped and everything's going fucking... They're excited for something to blow up and the fuse just goes... And he's like... Oh, I'm sad. So fucking funny.
So it's not anywhere near as satisfying as when they blow up the cement mixer and they're like
amazing.
3 miles away and you can see the shockwave hit them.
When they vaporize the cement mixer.
Yeah, they're like, here's part of it.
I fucking love that show.
It is a great
love
show.
That show.
It sucks that their Netflix show that the guy, the Asian guy from it.
Imahara Grant.
Yeah, Grant Imahara. His show on Netflix it never grabbed me the way Mythbusters did.
I think it's with all three of them too, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's with all of them.
It just wasn't like, he's kind of like the main host. Mm. And I think that might be the problem.
Carry it as well.
Yeah, I don't think honestly. He carries it as well as...
Not saying it because he is Asian, but... God, he definitely damn is it, Asian. Doyle.
We gotta stop letting Doyle be on the show.
Tested, I hear, is cool with Adam Savage.
Yeah, it is.
I haven't watched any of that, but I know Albie really likes it.
I've heard the same thing. But anyway, so G.I. Joe, or no, He-Man, Barbie, G.I. Joe, or Star Wars, Barbie, G.I. Joe, and then He-Man.
Really good.
Jesus, yeah. Bailey.
KFC knows how to make some chicken.
I was like, what the fuck is she holding?
That's the bone from the meat
the prime
brought.
Rib.
That's different.
Yeah. You brought chicken?
Yeah. I told him to just bring sides, but I will bring you chicken and ketchup.
Yeah. We'll bring sides. We start in half an hour. I'm like, we're going to have sides in half an hour.
I brought KFC. I brought 10 pounds of pulled pork, my friend.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
Well, we're going to have shit, too, now.
Yeah. We're fat guys, so we'll probably eat it all anyway.
Plus, 98,000 people live in this house. I'm sure it's not going to make it until tomorrow.
That's so accurate.
I don't want to say that she's carrying a fucking giant bone in her hand. So
each episode like kind of goes through the history of like the toy, like why it was impactful, like how it got developed and all that stuff.
The Star Wars one was cool, so I'm excited to see the other ones. So, I just haven't watched them yet.
The one thing that's weird, and I forgot to look it up. I even have it in my notes to look it up, but there was a documentary about the Star Wars toys. So that one was like kind of the least interesting one to me because I'd already watched an hour and a half long movie about it. And I was like, oh, man, this is cool. Like, it's a little foreshortened, but I've already seen, like, this information. Dude, the Barbie one was rad. The He-Man one, the fucking art that He-Man was developed off of is amazing. Like, the artist that was in charge of, like, drawing all the characters and stuff is fucking cool. And the G.I. Joe one, it's G.I. Joe, man. It's like one of the oldest action figure series of all time. So
most of the toys I had growing up were G.I. Joe toys of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
When they started bending, bro.
Or Shield, Shield Corps.
Like the one day I got super hooked up with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toys. Best day of my life.
I had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toy that was like the turtle. And then you could play with him, and then you opened him up, and there was like little mini versions of all the turtles. It was cool as shit.
Everything on this, because I was a Star Wars kid. Like I always had a ton of I had a ton of G.I. Joes, and I had a few He-Man and stuff. But Star Wars was like way my jam. every, like, because they talk about too, like, when the line starts lagging, the new things that they tried out, like the machines, that the spaceships and machines that aren't in the movie at all, they're just like, here's a new toy. You know? Yeah. But a ton of the stuff that they showed on there that was like, hey, when Star Wars started failing, we came out with like the micro Star Wars that were like the diecast, kind of like what you were talking about.
I actually had some of those.
I was like, oh man, I had a buttload of those because I would like – they were really easy to steal from Kmart. Like, so I don't know. It's funny because it was just every single new thing that they came out with until like right after Phantom Menace where – I stopped buying Star Wars toys.
I liked Phantom Menace. That was the one of the three that I was what I thought was the best of the three.
I liked Revenge of the Sith the best.
You got into weird shit after that because, like, it's nonsensical things because, like, Mace Windu is supposed to be, like, the most badass dude, but Samuel Jackson's old. His lightsaber fight is really lame looking. Like, with Palpatine, and then Palpatine, and that scene, I was like, they should have shot him and hired someone else. When he was like, no, no. I was like, acting, he did not go to school for.
Oh, but yeah, it was an interesting show. It was a lot of fun to watch. Like, definitely worth 4 hours of your time. Largely narrated by Patton Oswalt.
Oh, I like Patton Oswalt.
He is a funny, funny man.
Oswalt is, he's definitely a unique individual. But he's very cool.
He's been through some shit. And
yeah, like, didn't his wife die? Oh, like a brutal
cancer. And like, you know, he.
And people made fun of him for
it. He didn't handle it super great. And then like just kind of disappeared for a little bit and came back like swinging. Like just,
I think when he. So his wife passed away. I think he'd recorded all of his Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cameos.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of brought him back a little bit as far as in being in the spotlight again. And because he's fucking hilarious. I don't know if you've seen them, but he's fucking funny in those.
Well, he's just hilarious, period.
Yeah, yeah.
His stand-up comedy's funny, too.
He just got married again, too.
Yeah, really, like, it seems like, you know, it's that moment where you want to be like, wow, that's awkwardly fast, but his grieving process is his grieving process, man. If he's happy, fuck yeah. I mean, I've been in that situation where people are like,
where your wife died and then you got married again?
Well, no, where I like got married to someone who has left her husband like a week before.
It's a weird coincidence, Gabe.
Hey, you know.
Where I murdered somebody and then got married like a week
before. Oh, what?
What? Huh?
Yeah, what? don't worry about it. Your first mom.
Your other first mom.
Black Widow's getting her own movie.
I saw that.
Not excited about that.
Why not?
She's kind of misogynist. Not because she's a female. Because
would you be more interested if she was Oriental?
What if Hawkeye was getting his own movie, huh?
To go hand in hand with that, they're talking about a Hawkeye Netflix series, and that doesn't interest me at all either.
I would not love that.
I would get behind a Hawkeye.
I like the dude who plays Hawkeye. Like, I would love to see him in a movie or something.
I would get behind a Netflix Hawkeye movie if it was like the comics that came out, the David Aja comics that came out like a few years ago, where it's like just Hawkeye, like in his apartment largely, fighting like Ukrainian gangsters who want to buy his building. Like,
they're just.
Those are funny. Those are amazing.
To me, they suffer from not having had their own movies already. And that's Black Widow and Hawkeye are just the. They're just not interesting to me as much as they're not as interesting to me as
some of
the other
people.
It'll
be a weird step back from, like, basically you have them fighting Thanos with giant super-powered individuals, and all of a sudden you're going to bring it back to just chick who knows karate.
And that's
she has some cool weapons, too.
But that's what I mean. If we had gotten a Black Widow movie 4 or 5 years ago, I would be a lot more – I'd probably know more about her. I'd be more interested in her. But I'm just not.
What I'm hoping is it has that kind of thing going for it that Ant-Man or Doctor Strange
Ant-Man was the shit.
Or Black Panther. Like, Black Panther looks like it's going to kill it. And it's fucking like...
But to be fair, Black Panther fucking killed it already. Like, in his little cameo, he was fucking amazing.
But she's great. She's great in those movies, man. And I feel like I'm...
You just don't touch too much on her. That's the thing. And that's not what I meant.
Also, the Hulk could be a big part of her movie if they continue that.
It could be. And see, that would make it a lot more interesting to me.
Like, I feel like there's room there to make a movie that could be good. But then, then are we looking at, man, I'm burned out on superhero movies. Like, you look
I don't think so. I think Marvel's going to pump them out until they're fucking...
Until people stop watching them. Like,
which doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon.
Well, the fact that they can
make, not on the Marvel side, at least.
Yeah, DC
people
might
are
give
still
up.
Watching the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they just bitch about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the real test, though. Like, if people go see it, who gives a fuck what it's like?
Yeah, I agree with
you. That's why they didn't make any more Fantastic Fours, is because nobody went to see that shit.
That's why my argument still stands.
I feel like they still
money,
just
bro.
Keep making a Fantastic Four movie like every 3 years or so. Like,
well, yeah, just to keep the naming rights to it.
No, but I like Scarlett Johansson. I like Black Widow. I'm just not, at this point in time, I'm not interested in seeing a Black Widow solo movie.
I feel like there's room for it. I think it could be.
I'm sure there is, and hopefully it is. Hopefully they're making its fucking balls to the wall.
I feel like they have bought my appreciation enough that I will see it. Because they haven't.
Here's the thing.
They haven't outright failed me yet.
Here's the thing. When I say I'm not interested in something, I'm still gonna go watch it because of that. That's my point. Is I'm still gonna go see it. It's a Marvel property, and I hope it does well. It's just something that's not like, oh, I'm so excited for it right now. Just
you,
not.
You literally are that asshole that's like keeping the DC movies going.
I'm hoping they get one movie right.
All right, so I'm going to look at a little bit of my news stuff.
All right, well, while you're doing that.
That is too far back.
What?
Well, go ahead.
I forget. I kind of don't know what I was going to say. What segment are we in?
We're in just
this
the miscellaneous.
This is just like the miscellaneous.
We start, okay.
So we start.
I know the last few episodes have been all fucked up.
For new listeners, let's go over this. Our first segment is always just us talking about what we read, what we watched, news. We read. It's just kind of like our miscellaneous, like, let's
we're
get the ball
up.
Rolling. Catching up on...
It's 2 weeks.
Kind of the, as they say on Pop Culture Happy Hour, the NPR show, they say, what makes us happy this week? Or, like, what keeps us informed, whatever. So, that's what this first segment is. And then our second segment is always our Pop Culture Classic, usually after an interview or something like that. Pop Culture Classic. This episode, obviously, is Pale Rider, and we kind of keep track of that, you know, over the episodes.
Right.
And then the last segment is the old man segment where Gabe and John, ostensibly, when he's able to be on, talk about something that excited them when they were old.
Right.
And still excites them. Or excited them when they were young that they still remember now that they're old.
So this is the only part of the show that has no... There's no, like, from A to B. Like, we're not talking about one thing. It's just whatever fucking news we want to talk about.
You think I would know that at this point.
Yeah, but. You've listened to a lot of our episodes.
And I've been on several. But they are shot in a different way. Or, I was going to say filmed, which are also not filmed. Recorded in a different way than they are that you hear them. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. I did have to fuck around with the
hey, your end special is going to be weird.
Yeah, it's ready to go out. It's ready. I just need to make a post.
Not weird for
it,
people listening, but weird for Juan editing.
Yeah.
We shot all over the place.
Again, it's fucking crazy.
Didn't shoot anything.
there's some Walking Dead news. The finale is going to be... Oh, cool. This is actually really cool. So, again, something I'm not super interested in is the Morgan crossover fucking with the Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Mostly because I'm left in the dark and it bothers me when I'm left in the dark and I don't know what's going on. But I'll watch it. Hopefully it's going to be exciting. I love
just
Morgan.
Just because he's black doesn't mean you're left in the dark.
No. Oh, my God. Anyways,
I'm gonna make everything you say sound shitty tonight, man.
I love Morgan, so and I like both shows, so I'm
love
excited
Morgan
for
too.
So I'm excited for it. I'm just like, nah, I don't know what to expect, I guess. But the finale for The Walking Dead will be April 15th, and then immediately following the finale will be the premiere of Fear of the Walking Dead.
Right.
So they're actually gonna end and start on the exact same day, which is really cool. And supposedly, it's going to be the Morgan kind of crossover. That's where it'll start. But everything I've read from the first few, like here's the first two shots, you know, pictures that we've had from the recording. Their speculation is that somehow the Fear of the Walking Dead crossover event that's happening is going to happen in the Walking Dead timeline, which means that we somehow will have to have jumped a shit ton of time between when Fear ended and when Fear starts again, which is fucking weird to me. It doesn't make any sense.
They left it at a place where you could do that, though. If you've
it's just
seen
so
last
weird.
Episode of
you're
Fear.
Jumping so far ahead.
No, I agree with you. It's not wouldn't have been my move. But basically,
that's the speculation. There's nothing.
We really
confirmed.
Have no idea what the cast of Fear right. is doing or even alive.
Right. Right.
At the end of that one, so you really could cut a bunch of time out of there.
It's just weird. I feel like it would be like we've jumped 5 years or something fucking crazy.
Oh yeah, no, I get it. It's definitely bizarre.
Kind of in that same vein, they did get renewed. Walking Dead proper got renewed for a 9th season, and Gimple got fired.
No, he didn't get fired. Well, he got promoted.
Well, yeah, but he's not going to be like running the show
so
anymore.
He actually oversees both shows now. So it was a promotion. They made a brand new position for him. So he produces both Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead now. So he actually oversees every fucking aspect of the universe now.
Man, I wonder like how much he oversees.
Fans should fear this motherfucker now because he could ruin this shit real easy.
Good. Yes, I can't remember I think it's a female that's going into his shoes, but I can't remember her name. But Scott Gimple got promoted is what I read today.
Oh, I guess I had read it a couple days ago that he got let go, but whatever.
You know, let go, promoted, same thing.
I think they made a new position for him is
one
what I read.
One with slightly more money. Are any of you guys watching X-Files?
No, but I want to. Yes,
dude,
I want to.
Good.
Is it good again?
I haven't watched. I didn't watch the other season.
The last season was really good.
I didn't
too.
Watch
the last season. I thought it was excellent and ended on a pretty big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And in the first episode, I haven't seen the second episode yet. It is out of the new season. Is very good also.
Nice. I'm excited to watch good. It. I haven't had the chance to yet.
Plus, I have a shit. Fucking memory, bad memory.
Oh, the X-Files does an amazing job. Like, I don't think you had to see any of them.
No. I don't mean like what have happened in the past. But when I'm like, I'm at home and I'm going, what do I need to watch? Like, what do I need to catch up on? I can never fucking remember. Like, I want to watch Legion. Yeah. I want to watch X-Files. I want to watch all these shows. And I fucking always am like, oh fuck, I can't remember what I needed to catch up on.
Right now,
I'll just watch MythBusters for 12 hours.
I feel like I'm weeded, and I'm never fucking weeded.
Right now I've been on like I feel like my B side of shows, which is not really a B side of shows, it's just the shows that I'm not
that you don't watch all the
time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is X-Files, and those are included. And then I'm trying to watch like random ass movies that look good.
That's usually what I do is if I can't remember what like series I should be watching or fucking looking into, I'll just look and see what movie looks good and I'll just watch that.
I did just binge like all 4 seasons of Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld.
So fucking good.
Because that show's amazing.
It's so good. I really like that show.
There's a little Amazon kind of Google show that's like two comedians. They sit next to each other in chairs, and then they read off the auto predicts from Google. And the one that Seth Rogen, the first one he pulls off is Seth Rogen high? And he goes... I mean, not right now. I mean, not that much.
That's like that's not a prediction, bitch.
It's just funny because I don't know. They're funny. So that's I don't know where that came from.
Me neither.
So the movie there's a movie called Monsters. It's Mexican. Oh, you put it down. They're making
that was my very next one. So fucking excited for this.
That movie's really good. The sequel's really good. They're making a TV series out of it, which is a really cool idea.
Good.
El Monsters.
Yeah.
No, it's just called Monsters, you fucking bastard. It's
that
Spanish.
That was like the most softball pitch towards my own people. That's the one you go after. El. You asshole.
It's fucking beautiful. That's another movie that I really like because of how it's shot.
How it looks.
It looks gorgeous. The monsters don't look visceral. They don't look scary. They look beautiful. They look cool. It's a good show. If you haven't watched the movie, go watch it. It's good.
I've never
heard
of the movie.
Me neither. Good. It was just
it's
an indie
Netflix,
movie that
yeah.
I was just scrolling through Netflix one day, and I was like, oh, I like that looks
that's
cool.
I was scanning like the horror section of Netflix. I was like... Oh man, this has 4.5 stars.
Yeah,
that never happens.
And it's the guy who shit,
Gareth Edwards.
Yeah, Gareth Edwards. He made two Rogue One, and then he made one other good movie before that, but I cannot remember that. I just read that today too. But he helped make Rogue One, which is really good. But it's a beautiful movie. Definitely go watch it.
I will. I'll check it out.
Sweet. Do we want to take a break and eat?
Sure.
Because I'm guessing that's about what's to happen.
Absolutely. Also, recently I watched a movie called Residue. I was told to hold it for the show.
Oh, yeah. Are we recording again?
No, we're still recording.
Oh, sorry.
No, stop recording.
That was probably slightly boring for people.
Our he said, plans,
that's why
he's
I'm going to take all
out.
That out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I can't remember if I fucking watched it on Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon Prime, but you can look through all those if you got them, or if you don't. It may or may not be available for you.
There are ways to find things.
It has William B. Davis, the smoking man from fucking X-Files. He's in there. Matt Frewer, F-R-E-W-E-R. He's one of the main guys.
We're going to say Frewer.
James Clayton, I think, is like the star of it. But it's a pretty, honestly, it's about like a private eye who finds a book.
A dick?
A book.
No, he's a private.
No, he's
oh,
a
he's
dick.
A dick. In a book, yes. He reads the book.
Don't fuck him up, man.
The book turns out to be like evil, unleashes demonic things
oh,
in the
shit,
world,
like
tries to kill
Necronomicon.
You. You can't stop reading it. No, it's very different. Like, you open it
that
and
sounds
it
very similar.
Itself, it like pastes itself to the table once you open it, and if you don't stop getting to the end of it, it'll kill you in some way.
Oh,
but
so like
getting
Jumanji.
To the end of it will also kill you in some way. It's like a fucked up Jumanji. I didn't say that.
It's like Evil Dead plus Jumanji equals.
That does sound pretty cool.
What
I'm not going to lie.
Residue.
And there's no real special effects. It's all like old Hollywood med, like monster makeup, stuff like that.
Nice.
It sounds cool.
It looks awesome. Or it was awesome. I did watch it. I highly suggest it. That's like a 75% Rotten Tomatoes for like a indie movie that I don't think ever went to the theaters.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I was looking at so for Ashton's birthday, which was today, but on Friday we went to the Eagles game, and there's a scene. They do this thing where everybody screams.
There was a scene?
Well, no. Everybody screams, right? And so what they do is they cut to movies where people are just, right? So they have the scene from The Goods, where Jeremy Piven is standing there with the row of car salesmen getting ready to run at the row of customers, and they're just like, And Ashton's like, that looks hilarious. What fucking movie is that? And I couldn't remember because
right.
I saw the movie once like 3 years after it came out on like TNT or something. And so I look it up when I get home so that I can tell him what this movie is. And I'm looking – this. You talking about Rotten Tomatoes brought this up. I'm looking at it. It's got a 28% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got like a 30 on Metacritic. But Google users, 81% of Google users like it. I'm all – I remember it being super funny. And if I
isn't there a users section in Rotten Tomatoes too?
There is, but that's not what – when you type in something and it comes up on Google, the
– just the
just
critics
the critics
score?
Review comes up. I just thought it was hilarious. That's it's funny. Like this literally got shit reviews, but people love this movie.
And the problem is we shit on critics a lot, by the way, but
especially considering we kind of are.
But a lot of people don't.
We're commentators.
They can't just
more
watch.
Fans, I think.
they can't just watch movies and enjoy it. You've got to break it down, and it's got to. It's just so much.
It's not how we mouth this on NPR, who I've been trying to start beef with for like a year and a half, who literally can't review a movie. He'll get 80% of the way through a movie review, all positive, and then he gets in. But I hated everything about it.
The
like,
thing is,
come on, man.
It's not that they can't watch without breaking it down. It's that they can't ever hold it up to like what it's supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like this movie is clearly a stupid-ass comic book movie. But I didn't like it because it was a stupid-ass comic book movie. And it was like, well, what the fuck? Like, it's like I ate mashed potatoes and I don't like mashed potatoes.
So I hated those mashed potatoes. It's like
We get it. Like, you suck.
So eat something else.
I feel like
stop reviewing the movies that I want to watch.
I feel like these companies should have the like these are the people that watch superhero movies and these are the people that watch fucking noir movies
or
whatever.
Or tell your employee. Hey, review this.
The problem is, I don't think they can. I don't think they can. That's the problem.
I think part of it is that's why you see so much segmentation, like on the internet. You have sites that specifically just review comic book related movies, or sites that just review horror movies. Even then, though, like you get those critics that are like, everything is fucking garbage if it's not exactly like this one movie that was the best movie I ever saw in 1983.
I don't want to say nothing, but one of the guests that we had on last time, yeah, that's him. I don't want to say his name, but
Dom.
No, I love Dom. Not that I don't like this guy, because I don't know him.
Me neither. That was weird. Speaking of
1983. Are you talking about Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve hates everything.
Oh, okay. I was like, dude, I was so taken aback. I was like, who was there that hates the stuff? But Steve knows that he hates the stuff and goes knowing that he hates the stuff.
Yeah, Steve knows. Steve's like 100% aware that he hates all things. Like,
and plus, like, when Steve says he hates something, I almost want to watch it then. Or well, read it
because
then.
Because Steve will explain to you why he hates something in such a way that he says, okay, here's the good things about it and probably why most people like this movie. Here's the reasons why I personally don't like this movie.
I think on
movie.
Multiple occasions I've heard him go, it's terrible. Here's everything that's wrong with it. You should check it out.
Exactly. You would, you would probably like it. Though it is funny.
That sounds kind of underhanded.
It is.
It is. I'm sure there's no respect involved when he says it.
You would like this kind of movie.
It is hilarious to go to the movies with him because, like, especially if you go see something funny with him, because the trailers before the movies fucking infuriate him. And, like,
I love trailers so much.
Me too. So, Madea, like a Madea movie is like okay, a total.
I can understand that, though.
It's a total, like, throwaway, like.
That goes back to what you were just. That's exactly they have one little audience focus,
yeah.
but then they have one little moral thing they talk about. But they're stupid.
The Nutty Professor made fun of that concept, and like it's a real thing now.
So this is what's
black
funny,
people
though,
are crazy.
Is like. Say they drop, like, the fart joke or, like, some, like, you know, Madea's, like, one-liner or whatever, and everybody in the crowd will laugh because they're supposed to laugh because it's funny, right? Yeah. And Steve will just look at you and go, that's the kind of fucking garbage that I hate. And it's the best because the crowd's response of happiness makes him angry, and everybody's so fucking stupid.
But they make so much money still. These fucking crazy movies still make money.
Can we all agree that Spider-Man 3 was a terrible movie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I went and saw Spider-Man 3 opening night, midnight, Denver, somewhere. I don't remember where.
All bunch excited.
Of people, fucking people everywhere. People Spider-Man out, Venomed out. The movie ends, and everyone cheers, and I was mad. Like,
and so, why are you clapping?
No, I literally yelled out.
Sit down!
I literally yelled out, did we just watch the same fucking movie? And the whole crowd turned and looked at me like I wasn't. Which I guess I was.
Like, I'm just kidding, I'm sorry.
Yeah, dude, I thought I was going to die.
Don't fucking kill me.
You talking shit about Venom?
Like, so yes. Basically, that's Steve's movie-going experience all the time.
I know.
Every movie that he goes to, when people are happy at the end, he thinks to himself, did we just watch the same fucking movie?
I know. We all went and watched it, and everybody loved it except for Steve.
Yeah. But Steve knows, and Steve's still an enjoyable person to be around because even if he hates something, he'll have a good conversation with you about it.
I mean, fuck that guy, but
I wouldn't know.
Cool.
You guys ditched us last time we got together.
Fuck
so.
Off. I had to go meet my wife, you asshole.
I think he's talking about the trip up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was going to take you
to your wife, but
I don't know.
That's
what
fine.
That was.
No, that's all right.
You gave me the
wrong
address.
Don't worry about it. He still didn't. Whether I gave you the wrong address or not, you still weren't in the car hanging out with us.
Well, because
you completely ditched us.
Oh, Jesus, stop.
Put the brown guys in one car.
I know.
I don't know what Steve is.
Steve's half and I'm half, so there's like one brown guy in the car.
I thought Steve was Japanese or something.
An Oriental.
Yeah, you fucking.
No, dude, someday, like,
consistent
we're going to get
an
email from.
That's fine. Whatever.
I'm shocked it hasn't happened yet.
Dude, so am I. Like,
I'm going to forward it right to your fucking ass.
That's all
right. I always distinguish who you are compared to who we are. So.
That was Doyle.
Yeah.
We do not agree with what he says.
All right.
These motherfuckers
moving
are way
on
worse
from,
than me off
moving
the
on from getting ditched.
Oh, Jesus.
Shazam got a release date finally. April 15, 2019. I don't know anything about Shazam. I don't know how to feel about Shazam. The only reason I'm excited about Black Adam is because it has The Rock in it, and I still have no idea about Black Adam either.
Well,
all I know is that he says Shazam,
Superman.
And then he becomes big dude. Like, that's the only
Superman,
thing I know.
But magic.
Yeah.
Not
Superman.
Quite as powerful, but they're real powerful.
more interesting in my estimation. Like,
there's a lot more mythology goes into their makeup. And
because
shit.
They're significantly older and the limitations of like their abilities are more interesting to me. So,
and they can put a whooping on Superman because he's vulnerable
they're,
to magic.
They're like physically older or like the books are older?
The books are older.
Oh, okay. So Shazam came out first?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think he's an interesting character. It'll be an interesting movie.
It should be.
I don't know anything about it. That's the. I'm excited. That's
DC
what excites me is that I just don't
cock it up. It should be a really good movie, and it has The Rock in it, so it's going to be.
I don't think Shazam will have The Rock in it. I think they're going to be two separate movies.
Well, I mean, but they'll eventually come together because Black Adam's Shazam's villain,
right? I agree with you.
That would be stupid if they were just two movies and then they never
I agree
them
with you. I'm just saying that
I
think they're two separate movies.
Stupid is outside of DC's like
can we get like Stone Cold Steve Austin to be Shazam? And that would just be amazing.
That would be fucking funny. He hates acting though.
I know, but I would just be what the fuck? Why is Shazam
or
drinking beers like that?
John Cena could do it.
I know, I just want to relive the memory days, you know?
Yeah, I'd rather watch Stone Cold too.
A lot of weird shuffling. New Mutants got delayed 10 months.
I saw that.
Looks awful.
The article I read says that they screened it and they got good reviews, but not great reviews.
The more I watched the trailer, I was just like, I just kept getting less and less impressed with that direction of that.
Says that they're still going to focus on the horror side of it, but that the reviews just didn't come back the way they wanted.
The part of it. So. It just didn't fucking look like an X-Men movie of any kind, shape, or form.
So that's coming out February 22nd, 2019. So that's 10 months later than it was originally
expected. Did you guys
ever
watch The Inhumans?
No.
Dude, it's not as bad as people gave it shit for.
I didn't
honestly
watch it.
I just wasn't super interested.
And they haven't.
I'm not super interested either. I watched it on the basis of everyone said it was hot, complete garbage. And I was like, could they really do that? Even make that much garbage? But I didn't think it was that bad.
They haven't come out.
Who likes Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, I like it for other reasons. People don't understand.
They will.
I know we're going to end up watching it. So.
They won't because I can't. It's like a taste of something you enjoy as a food and nobody else likes. There's no way to describe it to
he's
you.
Like,
he's eating that Dorian. What's that smelly fruit? Durian?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it so much.
It tastes like feet.
You just take this like really well-known, respected actor and you just, what the fuck am I? Like, I don't know. Like,
he didn't make anything for a while after that
dude,
either.
Because
that was bad.
Because I don't like it because of the acting or the story. I like it because I'm like, A, if you were actually going to beat an alien race, the way that it goes about it somewhat makes sense. It doesn't make sense, but them teaching you and then you getting an edge over on them kind of makes sense. Because the whole way of like super advanced alien species shows up and we win – that makes no fucking sense in any sci-fi movie. But
like
super,
the Independence Day version of that makes no sense.
But show up, beat the shit out of us. A couple hundred years later, through their arrogance, they teach us a lot of their shit and we get an advantage on them. Kind of maybe makes sense. So there's some parts of it I enjoy for weird reasons, but
movie's terrible.
It is not great. I agree.
Gambit lost its third director. And it's delayed another 4 months, so that'll come out May of 2019.
That
supposedly.
Movie's
going to
be a fucking
supposedly.
Hot mess.
Yeah, it's not going to be great.
That might be Marvel's first straight to video in a fucking long while. Like Gambit's going to be a hot mess. The director
well, keep just forcing it. Like just Gambit. I mean, everybody loves him. Probably not strong enough to hold his own movie.
Absolutely not. Like he is a team player. Yeah. Like he is not his own thing.
Deadpool got shuffled, but it actually is coming out a month early. So that's coming out May 18th, 2018.
Probably avoiding a Star Wars release of some kind.
Did you see the Brazil Comic-Con promo that he did?
Uh-uh.
So they did a whole promo. So he comes out and he's like, hey, you know, Sao Paulo Comic-Con, I just wanted you guys to know I learned Portuguese for this. So here it goes. And then, like, this woman's voice comes out, and it's, like, all subtitled in English, and he's saying everything in, like, perfect Portuguese, but it's a lady's voice. And the whole promo is that they had four Deadpool tattoos, like, real tattoos. And they had tattoo artists at the convention. And before the convention, you could sign up to get one of these Deadpool tattoos for free. And they went fucking instantaneously.
Oh, sure.
Dude, so it's funny. Look, it's definitely worth looking up. Like,
I'll check it out.
So I feel like Marvel, I feel like they're getting it out of the way quickly. You know what I mean? So to just be like, all right, else. This is a rated R thing. We're getting it. It's ready. It's done.
Yeah.
Let's just get it out quickly, and then we'll decide if we want to keep doing this or not, you know?
And when it makes like a bajillion fucking dollars, they'll make Deadpool 3.
You think? I mean, it's so weird. I hope they do. They've gotten, you know, it's obviously a fucking popular movie. Ryan Reynolds fucking is killing it. I just don't know if Disney's going to be like, yeah, look, we should keep doing these rated R movies.
Disney owns Miramax, so it's not like Disney hasn't fucking released rated R movies. They just don't release it under like the Walt Disney imprint. So release it as a Marvel movie with a different subsidiary company that you own.
Can't problem be Miramax. Solved. Nobody watch that shit anymore.
No, he doesn't own that. He doesn't own Weinstein Company either. His brother does.
but like people giving him shit for no reason.
Speaking of sexual harassment, did you guys see the shit about Stan Lee?
Yes.
I did not, but...
Makes
sense.
I don't know. So here, I don't know. So I'm gonna put that out there. I don't claim to fucking be on one side or the other. I don't really like talking about it because everybody gets all hot about it. But before this happened and this came out, somebody stole a fucking ton of money
and
from
bought
him
a condo,
and bought
like
a house,
$800,000.
And
from
when
him.
You're so fucking rich that you don't know almost $1 million is gone from your bank account. Like, holy shit. And so they said, supposedly, that these were parts of that shakedown to try and get money from him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, at this point in time, it's almost like if you don't side with the female who's accusing somebody, you're a bad guy.
Almost.
So I don't want to fucking talk about it, but it's a weird little... It's weird timing, only because it's attached to that other thing. Not because of any kind of time that's elapsed, but because it seems
right, and
plausible that it might be a shakedown. Like, we were talking about this at work. I was like, he's fucking 96 years old. Like,
see, yeah.
He's still capable of harassing somebody. Let's not say he's not. But I feel like if he's like reaching his hand out to grab you, you'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
So the thing that I thought was the most like, so here's the thing. Like, I'm not a fan of sexual harassment.
No, right.
I've been sexually harassed. Like, having a dude grab your junk, not fun. Especially when he's happy about it. Like, you know, the other side of the coin, like, I'm not a fan of seeing women get sexually
right.
harassed. Like, I don't think that's a good thing. The idea that Stan Lee jerked it at, like, 95 years old, I'm not saying it's appropriate for him to do it in front of his charge nurse, but the fact that he can, pretty impressive. Like,
come on, chick. He was just cleaning it. He doesn't want to get a rash at this age. Might take him down.
Like, I'm not saying, like, I'm not, you know, saying that, you know, she doesn't have the right to speak up about
right.
it, all of that stuff. I'm just saying that, like, I hope when I'm 95, my dick still works. Like, because that's...
You just never know anymore. You could be a rich, famous dude, and just, somebody could say something about you that could be completely fucking a lie, and you just
oh,
get
I'm
the
sure.
beating for it, you
yeah,
know?
I'm sure
you don't,
it's going to happen, too. With all the people coming out, somebody's going to get...
There's got to be people that are... And what I think I see happen is you see these pops in the news where somebody gets blamed for it, and they deny it. And then they're saying, like, take you if you really think this, take me to court. And then, like, all of a sudden it disappears. But the people that are like, yeah, I did that, they quit. Or they say, you know, you believe I did this, take me to court. And then somebody takes them to court. Like, that seems to
yeah,
be,
yeah.
you know, validating to me. Is like, as soon as somebody...
Where did respect go?
Oh, it went.
Stanley invites me to his house, starts beating off. I'm going to sit back and I guess this is happening. That's not what I wanted to happen today, Stanley. But you are Stanley.
I didn't want to see a weird 94-year-old penis.
There's a big difference between you meeting Stanley and like a nurse that has to take care of him every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I would watch Stan Lee beat off because I'd be like, fuck, dude, that's Stan Lee. But like his
super
nurse
fucked up.
His nurse is like, put that shit away, Stan.
But there's also this weird
I have had to clean your diapers.
there's also this weird double standard.
Maybe
when it
he
comes
was just
to
beating off and didn't know she was 94 years old.
Five.
He just
turned 95.
He's like,
and again, if it's true, it sucks. You know, it is. The making fun of and the laughs we have are not.
These are all jokes.
If it happened, it sucks, and he should get punished. You know, but it's just a. I feel like it's just everybody sexually harassed somebody at this point. But I mean. Like,
one that's that rich.
He pays for it.
There's just a weird double. There definitely is a weird double standard when it comes to this. Because we were talking about it at work where
you can't
we're
take
in
the male side.
We're
right
in
all.
The we're in the car. We're in the car industry. I am. And you know we all
you sell cars?
Yeah. We all dick around and we all you know we like on a football team you pat the other guy on the ass you know blah blah blah. You're in that environment. But if you were to bring a female into that environment and you were to slap her on the ass, all of a sudden it's a fucking giant deal, you know. And it's weird. It's weird because if the female were to pat me on the ass, I would just be like, well, it's kind of weird. Or yeah, you know, we're celebrating.
What's
it's
weird
just
about
a weird.
It is even if you took offense and brought it up that it would not be considered bad.
It's just like the male teacher that molests a female high school student. Like he's going to go to prison. The female teacher that molests a male high school student, everybody's like, oh, look at the big man catching the teacher, blah, blah, blah. That's not right. That's still statutory rape. And it's still super fucked up. Like, there is that because of the way our social dynamics have developed over the last, you know, 50, 60 years. Like, we have these weird double standards that eventually – and what this probably is just the growing pains of those things evening out. Like – people being able to say, hey, I have a voice no matter which side of the coin I'm on. So
yeah, we were talking about it and I was like, if there was a group of women in a room and a dude came in and he's like, pulls his dick out and he's like, I'm gonna fuck somebody, you know, they would label him a fucking creeper and he would probably go to jail.
Oh,
but if a woman came into a room full of men, you know how many men she could fucking take home? Like, no man is gonna, I'm sure there's some man, but most men are not gonna be like, oh, she sexually harassed me, you know what I mean? They'd probably take the rest off, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's exactly what it is. It's just the way it's been and I don't know how to fix that, but it's just a weird fucking
when you say
double
it
standard.
That way, a woman that walks into a room full of men and takes her clothes off, that's a job. That's a job that some women have, like, which is disturbing when you think about it that way. I don't know. It's
just weird. We don't condone – nobody condones it here, but it's definitely weird. If he did it, then he should get in trouble for it.
The only thing I'm sexually harassing is me.
Yeah, I'm far too lazy to sexually harass real people.
That's what the internet's for.
Come on, baby. All right. Let's do this. Snap hands.
From one controversy to the next.
Oh.
Aladdin. So there's going to be an Aladdin live action movie.
All white people?
No.
No, okay. Because that's usually where that goes.
Not all white people.
Just mostly white people.
So most of the people have been Middle Eastern or brown or whatever they needed
Mexicans
at the time.
Mexicans pretending to be Middle Eastern.
And supposedly there was a what do they call the actors that aren't big, the side actors?
Extras.
There was an extra that said, hey, Disney's painting white people to look brown.
And, oh, jeez.
And Disney
brown face.
And Disney came out and said, 90% of the people who work on this movie are of the descent that we think fits the movie.
Right.
But we need stuntmen.
Hundreds of people, yeah.
We need stuntmen, and we need these people who, you know, have specialty skills that these white people happened to have filled the role, that we need them to look like the rest of the people in the movie.
Right.
So I kind of bought that. Like, I don't know.
No, I 100%
Then Cal
that.
Penn came out and said, I'm sure there's other fucking brown people who fit what you're looking for.
Not necessarily, but
exactly.
Though.
That, like, there's some... I bought into the idea that it's that I agree with Marvel. Like, I don't find a problem with it. If you're putting somebody into a position where he might fall off a building and fucking kill himself, and he just happens to be white, the professional guy, fucking paint him. Like, I don't want somebody to die.
Because at that point, it's not about, like, being a specific race or being it, or being, like, in, you know, brown face or whatever. It's a costuming issue.
Right.
He has to look like the actor that he's portraying in the stunt. Like, that makes... And no, not necessarily there's brown people that fit those roles. Like, we don't know what the demographics
right.
of stuntmen are.
I
like,
agree. Holy I agree.
Shit. When you had a stuntman or a double two, that person is cast to be, like, same height, same build, relatively same look.
Yeah.
To say that you can definitely find an Indian or whatever version of that
is not necessarily yeah. true. That's completely absurd. Unless you're going to, like, India and Bollywood yeah. and saying, hey, can we borrow your stuntman who... probably doesn't yeah. know.
He might not be licensed.
Like, he probably doesn't know all the rules. He's probably not part of the Screen right. Actors Guild. There's potential language barriers. Like, there's a billion different problems with outsourcing to, like, a different country right. like that. I mean, that seems like...
I like Cal Penn, and
it's like
I think
altered,
it's funny.
It's like the Altered Carbon commercial that I was talking about, where they're like, why didn't they have an Asian guy play this Asian guy in a movie where his name is Asian and, you know, Eastern European, for starters, so it's not even definite that he's Asian. And on top of it, the whole movie is about taking your consciousness out of the body you don't like and putting it into an idealized body. And, like, the body image issues is, like, a huge part of it.
Right.
And people are like, well, why isn't the actor Asian? Because that's what the fucking movie is about. Yeah. Is about people transferring.
You think
into
some days
body.
I don't want to? You think some days I want to be Mexican? Fuck no.
That's off my cop earlier.
Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, there's certain moments where you're like, this is manufactured controversy.
Right.
Like, you're shitting your pants because you just want to be upset. Like,
well,
stop it.
And like I said, I like Cal Penn.
Nobody's
and
telling
I think
people
it's
to
funny,
shut the fuck up anymore.
But on Twitter, people were like, hold on. You made your whole career on making fun of people of your own fucking race. You don't get to fucking talk about shit like that. So I thought that was kind of funny. But
that's awesome.
Like, I honestly think that's how it should be handled. Like, comedians, directors, filmmakers, somebody needs to start just being like, hey, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, we're taking as much as on as we can. Yeah. We're doing the best that we can. Like,
I feel like
go eat a cheeseburger. Get the fuck away from me.
Or whatever your vegan ass yeah. eats. Sorry, Albie.
You can find literally that story every day online about
Absolutely.
A new movie or a new TV show or
oh, yeah.
a fucking music video or something where some race isn't getting represented and fuck off. Like,
not every story yeah. has to have you in it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I understand, like, there's huge underrepresented minority communities. If you have a huge, huge problem with that,
make a
do
fucking
it.
Movie.
Fucking do it. Like, these people are doing their best to make a movie. Like, there are a million different precedents for somebody saying,
yeah, look,
hey.
Look what happened with Get Out. I mean,
yeah.
he fucking, like, yeah, of course, he's kind of a big guy. Like, he has got a big name because of the show and shit,
but
he
didn't
just
before
made,
that show.
And it's not, and it's not a, it, as far as I know, it was kind of an indie
yeah.
movie. You know,
and
it wasn't
paid,
anything fucking huge.
But he had paid his dues in other ways,
right.
too. Like, he saw a missing niche. And he went for it as a stand-up comedian and then as a sketch comedy writer and then as a movie writer and director. Like, he saw something missing and he filled the gap with himself.
Dude, Seinfeld even talks about it. He got shit for the first season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee because it was just people – it was a super low budget, random-ass thing that he did, just happened to call up some buddies that he knew and they all were white men.
He's like, those are my friends. Like, I'm sorry.
Well, and, like, some of his best, I think his like, best comedian friend is black, too. Like, and he does him in, like, the third
season.
What is
it about cars having white guys in them?
Like, fucking
well, they're
weird.
Fucking really nice cars, so that's probably why.
There's some pretty shitty ones on a few episodes, but
it's,
yeah, for the most
it's
part,
funny.
They're,
it's,
nice.
They're fucking cool. I love that show. My last thing, because my battery's running low and we need to go eat. Suicide
Agreed.
Squad 2, Margot Robbie, Will Smith, and Jared Leto have all re-signed to come back for the second one. And so I'm actually, I'm excited. I'm excited that hopefully Ayer, who made Bright, learned from his fucking nonsense and will come back and make a better movie.
I'm
so
pissed off that my favorite character in Suicide Squad
I don't think he's dead. I don't think he's dead.
You don't think Diablo's dead?
He's fucking Diablo, bro. He's the devil, literally the devil.
Can you kill him with an explosion, a fire? I don't think you can.
Don't judge me. I'm just irritated.
No, I know. I thought they did him wrong in the movie, too. Where like,
I'm so pissed
off.
All
of a sudden, he's like badass god fire guy, and they just blow him up.
He's like the best character in the movie with the best backstory, and then they're like, he's dead. It's like, man, fuck this shit. I hated this movie already.
I don't think they actually killed him, though.
I got a few things before we go upstairs.
Just like try. If of a sudden this battery goes dead, I'm sorry.
Oh, on that
it's
thing?
Blinking, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's all right.
All right, so I read a few comic books. Did you just snore? It sounded like you snored.
I breathed in a little loud. Sorry.
I was like, God damn, dude. This show like is kind of about comic books sometimes.
No, it is. I feel like an asshole because I haven't had time to read fucking anything. I burned through all my Hellblazer, and then I caught up on one Harrow County. I think I'm like six behind. So
right.
I'm mad at more at myself about that, but I think I should read more comic books.
So picked up a copy of Yerdawaski and Mobius's Incall, the Incall, the first book. Still, hands down, like one of the coolest graphic novels I've ever read. Like, just so much modern science fiction is directly stolen from this comic book. Like, it's unbelievable. You're like, oh, I get where George Lucas got that idea. It's from this amazing comic.
Thief!
I love it. It's amazing. If you haven't had a chance to read it, it's surreal and it's fucking weird and it's different, but it's really, really good and really cool. Picked up Judas issue 1, which is kind of about the whole after Jesus dies from Judas's position. At the end of the issue, spoiler alert, Judas kills himself.
What?
That happens in the Bible,
too. That's in the Bible. But he goes to hell, and he's about to, like, encounter Satan. But there's, like, these really cool ideas of like if Jesus is God and he like has precognition, he knows from the very beginning that Judas is going to betray him, but he specifically picks Judas because Judas needs to serve this specific purpose.
Right.
So why does Judas deserve to get punished for doing exactly what God needed him to do
much the quintessential question.
Judas story, exactly. Yeah. Like pretty cool idea, fits really well into like a lot of the kind of spirituality stuff that I believe in.
That's why that's why I don't think that, personally, I don't think that you can have free will and God can know what your story is already, because those things don't make any sense.
Yeah, the two are incongruent.
If my story's already written, then I don't really have fucking free will. That
Which
doesn't
means,
make any sense to
do
me.
Do what you want!
Yeah.
We'll get it.
No, we're not gonna. That's a different podcast, Doyle.
Alright, fuck it off.
That's some podcast.
I believe in God.
Surprisingly, I know a lot about the Bible. It's just like that.
I know a buttload about the Bible.
And stuff.
You and I are on that same page where we both read the Bible like a bunch of times, and now we're like, I have really weirder ideas than people think I should have.
No, I know that about you.
Fantoma came out on Chapter House Books, which I believe is an imprint of something else, but I didn't write it down. It is a
Fantoma.
Sounds like a lady in Mexico.
Yeah. Remind me to tell you about how Fanta was invented for the Nazis. Like,
interesting.
It's super interesting. But Fantoma is a Golden Age comic book that, I mean, goes back to like...
I was going to say, I think I've heard. Like, I didn't see
like
a new one.
Like, it's a really, really old Golden Age book that this has been rebooted. And they've made the main character a Hispanic girl. So Fantoma is kind of...
Oh, she is. Holy shit.
Kind of like a mixture of the old golden age character and like the weeping woman, like that's crying on the riverside. So like, it's kind of like a cool mixture of the two. Three issues into it so far, really cool. The old books are weird and like over the top violent because they're that like pre-code kind of stuff. But this is good. I'm enjoying it. I can't wait to read more. Picked up Gravediggers Union. I don't know if you guys have seen that at all.
I saw you post it, but I hadn't heard of it before that.
So Gravediggers Union is about the Gravediggers Union. Their job is that when people rise from the grave, they kill them and rebury them. So they like fight zombies and they fight vampires and they fight mummies. Like that's their job. And there's a union, like an international union of them. And they have all these rules. And one of the rules is they can't deal with witches, because witches are like the other side of the coin, because witches do bullshit like raise people from the grave and witches fuck up their day. So witches be bitches. All my witch friends, that's not true. Don't curse me.
They also get stitches.
But so there's been like this rash, like it's been an influx of every night the whole graveyard rises from the grave. They have to kill him and rebury him. Everybody's working way too much overtime.
That sounds terrible.
They can't get anything done. Everybody's working 15, 16-hour shifts. Like, so they go to their union boss. They're like, we got to figure out what the fuck is going on because way too much stuff is coming back from the dead. He's like, you can't talk with witches. That's against the rules. And so they go talk with the witch. And that's two issues in. That's all the further I'm in.
I actually want to read that. That sounds really
interesting. Dude, it's a lot of fun so far.
Mostly because I work in like a heavily unionized industry. Like, and like I just want to see that played out into something interesting.
Having worked in a union shop before, I'm like, I have dealt with that prick.
As opposed to like beef. It's like, we're going way too much overtime. What's going on? We keep killing cows. I want to know what's going with the dead people.
There's a lot more cows that needed to die, sorry.
I think that's pretty much it for me, for my miscellaneous, so.
Let's take a break.
Let's go have some dinner.
We're an hour and 20 minutes in, so we did well.
Half the episode. Or a fourth of the episode. Yeah. All right.
Here we go.
All right. Okay. I'm making my way through the woods here, guys. I'm doing a field report this time. There's no signal out here, so I'm not calling. I'm recording on my phone. I'm making it closer here. I hear noise in the distance. I don't know what's going. Oh my dear God! What are they doing over there? Oh my! What?
Who the hell is that?
Guys,
Sparky's
going to
get your ass.
I'm just I'm walking in the woods. I'm from the Lamp Show. I'm Jonathan from the Lamp Show. Okay,
I'm out, boy.
What the fuck are you doing out here?
You're
mine now.
Oh God! Stop.
Warner Brothers will be proud to bring you the next great American Western. Clint Eastwood, Pale Rider. They came out of the mountains to ravage and rape a small mining village. Suddenly, a stranger appeared, and hell followed with him. Some called him Preacher. Others called him Gunfighter. Clint Eastwood, Pale Rider.
Okay.
And we're back. I ate so much fucking food.
It doesn't look like a lot after everybody has gone through it. I'm like, God dang, I don't think I made that much food.
Yeah, you made a lot of food. There's a lot of food up there. And then Doyle brought the, like, 16-piece chickens.
Fucking Doyle. He went to the hospital.
He keistered something that he shouldn't have.
No. Oof.
It popped. He started throwing
popped
up.
Popped a blood vessel or something.
Seeing Jesus. He's all, I'm here, Lord. Oh, no, the bag broke.
He realized it himself. Take me to the hospital.
I'm about to be hallucinating super hard in a half an hour.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Poor guy. May he rest in peace. Oh, man, if he dies, I'm going to be really sad now.
We'll have to cremate him.
I know. We'll have to rename the hotline.
True. If he really dies. Keep his credit card open, though. We still need that money.
Yeah. Oh, which you can keep your credit card open if you die, if you go and support us at patreon.com/TOTLB. There's plenty of different ways that you can support us over there. Everything from a dollar. You're pointing
at me. I need to know which one you are.
Which one I am. Yeah. Everything from a dollar a month will get you all sorts of different prizes, stickers, t-shirts. There's all sorts of cool shit that you can get from us.
Etched glasses.
The ability to force us to watch fucking Battlefield Earth. You're good. All right. So, yeah, but be sure to go to patreon.com/TOTLB and join us in this conversation. We have special videos that come out before the episode where we talk about something special that you don't get to hear about on the podcast. This time it was about some future planning.
Whoa.
Oh, for an event that may be happening.
Well, everybody knows what the event is.
I know, but they don't need to know specifically. Because what if we're planning something else?
What if we got plans on top of plans? We're actually planning a lot of things this year.
I know. We have a lot going on. Like Stacy's mom.
That's true. She was hot, too.
She has a lot going on. Every time I meet someone named Stacy, I think that to myself. I wonder if her mom has a lot going on.
Hey, does your mom look good? Nah, okay.
All right, never mind. All right, so let's get into it. Segment two of our show, as talked about earlier, is Pop Culture Classic. Woo! So this time was picked by Patreon supporter Jason
Wells.
Wells, sorry. I forgot his last name. I remembered his first name, though. I'm excited about that.
We need to record a new Patreon thing, too, by the way.
I did, didn't
we? Yeah, but it's not very good quality. We'll record one because I did it on my phone. Yeah, that's fine. It's all good, though.
No, I know. It was post-haste.
It's going on So there's a new episode coming out when I get home. So
nice.
It's ready to go. So.
So this is Jason's first pick.
Yes.
He picked Pale Rider, 1985, directed by Clint Eastwood.
And produced, I think, too. Clint Eastwood. And written, I think, too.
Actually. He did not write it.
No?
But produced, directed, starring Clint Eastwood, Michael Moriarty.
What the fuck is the difference between a producer and a director?
The producer is the person that makes the money, that gives you the money to make the movie. The director is the person.
So he put his own money up?
Probably, yeah. I mean, by then he was rich, dude. He'd been making movies for like 30 years.
Yeah.
So
he had $100.
Chris Penn is in this. Super weird. He's the shitty rapist kid in it. Clint dislocated his shoulder during the filming of this movie. Oh, you know, I wonder if that's why he kind of walks weird in this movie.
I don't know, man. Like I told you, he walks very he's not big, but he walks with his belly out and his back kind of arched funky. It looks weird.
But I wonder if maybe that's why, because like his horse, and this goes back to something else we were talking about earlier. His horse fell in some ice, and he fell basically endoed on the horse and dislocated his shoulder. Throughout this entire movie, you can tell that the horses are like, fuck walking down this ridiculous hill you're trying to get me to walk down. He stopped making westerns for a period of time. It was about 7 years between this one and Outlaw Josie Wales. And then it was like another 7 or 8 years between this one and Unforgiven. But he developed an allergy in his like 30s or 40s to horses. So he stopped wanting to make westerns because, I mean, obviously, if you're allergic to horses, you don't want to be in westerns anymore.
A western with no horse?
Richard Kiel, the giant, giant guy that gets hit in the dick with the sledgehammer.
Yes.
The first horse that they gave him actually collapsed under his weight, so they had to get him a new one. It was the highest grossing western of the 1980s.
I'm trying to figure out the kid – the guy who's the, like, the guy who I thought originally was the main bad guy. I'm trying to figure out what his name is.
The young son.
Is that what his name is?
Yeah, that's played by... It, that's not his name in the movie. His name in the movie is Josh LaHood, the guy that's like the owner's son. That's Chris Penn, played by Chris Penn.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out where the fuck I know him from.
You know Chris Penn from like Reservoir Dogs and stuff like that.
That's not where I know him from.
Oh, okay. Well, he's he figures. So you had asked me about his gun, okay?
Yes.
How it's like the weird, like, has the weird loading mechanism.
Yes.
So the Pale Rider's revolver is a Remington Model 1858 modeled from the cap and ball style revolver cylinder to a cylinder that fires cartridge ammunition. So that's why it has a removable cylinder, is because it used to be the kind that you had to pack yourself and then plug the cylinder in to one, or yeah, plug the cylinder in to one where you put shells in it.
Right.
So that's,
it looks, it, so they sell similar things now. This, the way the gun kind of came down, because
it like
funky.
It unfolds. Right. Like it literally unhinges.
But they
and
sell
unfolds.
For people who shoot like professionally in contests and
they
shit, they sell
loaders.
Them like those. But I assumed it was just because it was a quicker way to load his gun, because he doesn't have to put each fucking bullet back into the chambers. You know what I mean?
I think
it just comes, the whole chamber just comes out and he's able to just put it in.
I think part of it, though, is an extension of it being an older modified gun, too, that the whole chamber comes out. So
it's pretty cool. It's a really cool looking gun.
So I'm going to get into this email. Jason, because he couldn't be here, wanted to comment on the movie, which was his pick. So he sent us this. I don't remember exactly when I last watched Pale Rider, but I think it had to be at least 15 years ago. I remember having this movie taped on Betamax as a kid, so I probably watched it at least a few dozen times as a teenager. So it was, fuck you, I watched Betamax. So it was interesting watching a film that was at once both intimately familiar but lacking a lot of like specific recall. This movie was the last of Eastwood's Man with No Name westerns, which I asked you about earlier. Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More, High Plains Drifter, and Pale Rider.
Right.
This was the last of Eastwood's Man with No Name westerns, and obviously leans heavily into the supernatural religious themes. The opening sequence, when Megan is kneeling over her murdered dog, you know right out of the gate, these bad guys suck. Feels heavy-handed now, with the overlaid shots of a preacher coming down through the mountains as she prays. Then you get the more artfully handled reading of the Book of Revelations, with preacher arriving just as Megan finishes the passage about death sitting on a pale horse. In my memory, the supernatural overtones were a little more subtle, and I still think the movie works better for me interpreted more vaguely, though as preacher puts it later in the film when pressed on his true identity, does it really matter? I guess not, preacher. On the whole, I think the movie holds up pretty well. I remember thinking it might be as good or better than Unforgiven, which I would argue that. But he says, oh, and I don't think that now.
I haven't seen those movies in fucking forever.
Although, to be fair, I haven't watched Unforgiven in over a decade either. Eastwood was already a well-established director by the time he made this, and there are a few scenes that showcase his classic deliberate pacing. The opening credit sequence that seems to go on forever, alternating between the bad guys,
it really does,
menacingly riding their horses, and the miners mining and stuff. Then the somewhat overly long rock hitting showdown, though that scene does pay off with the hilarious confrontation between preacher and Jaws from James Bond.
Every time I see him, I think of fucking Happy Gilmore too.
Or Club, as the guns don't kill people. Yeah. I do.
He's got the big old fucking nail in his head.
Or Club, as apparently his character is named in this. One thing I like about the film is the unabashed badassness of Eastwood's character. He's basically Ghost Rider minus the flaming head and chains, even dropping a penance stare at one point on the main baddie, LaHood. in one of the film's best extended sequences. The movie never feels the need to make Preacher seem vulnerable. He just shows up and mows the bad guys down. He's almost a magnet to the film's female characters, and naturally those are the storylines that feel the most uncomfortable watching in 2018. The showdown is a satisfying march through Stockburn and his deputies. John Russell does a lot with limited screen time as Stockburn and helps make the final confrontation feel significant as the quote-unquote spirit of vengeance settles his own score while also helpfully resolving the land rights dispute. All in all, thumbs up, would recommend. Eastwood's penultimate Western delivers the classic Eastwood tough guy performance, even if it doesn't quite deliver on the level of nuance found in Unforgiven and some of his later directing efforts. So
that was a lot.
It was a lot, but it's good. It's good. And honestly, that's kind of where I'm at it. This is the first Western that my dad ever played for me where I watched it and said, oh, I fucking like Westerns.
Right.
And as I was watching it today with Mel, the scene that does it for me is the very beginning when he walks into town and the one dude's getting beat up. And he pulls the axe handle out of the thing, whips ass on like six guys, and then says, nothing like a good piece of hickory. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that dude's a turbo badass, I fucking love this movie.
So I was looking for and I must have missed it. Every time I take a picture, whenever we do a movie for Pop Culture Classic, I try to take a picture of the title card.
Right.
And I don't remember seeing it at all. So it must have just come fucking really fast at the super beginning, and I didn't notice.
It's at the very beginning. It just says Pale Rider, and then it cuts to credits.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, well, that sucks. And then so he did that, and I was actually going to try and take a picture of that one of those scenes as well, but I couldn't get a good picture of that one. But that was – so that was actually a scene that where I went like – I don't think Clint Eastwood should be hand-to-hand fighting in movies because it doesn't look very good.
Right.
But he, like you said, he came off as a badass doing it. But when I think of Clint Eastwood, I never think of him just hand-to-hand fighting with
you
people.
You think
because
of him
it's
shooting
not,
his gun.
Yeah, I see it on his horse or he's got his gun or whatever because that's what I remember. That's more the western-y Clint Eastwood that I remember.
So watching
and it looked wooden. It looked very, like that fight looked very weird. It was funny.
It
though.
Looked super choreographed. Yeah. But the difference is watching it as a kid, I was like, that's awesome. Seeing him spin the stick now, like right before he hits that guy, I'm like, that is ridiculous, and he is clearly not spinning that stick.
It just spun.
Yeah. It's like, why is it helicoptering? Like, that doesn't even make any kind of sense.
And it's fucking, the wood bounces off of every other piece of wood except for the one time. And the guy's like, what? It's fucking funny.
It is funny, but in general, like, this is just a super solid, really entertaining Western in the vein of so many of Clint Eastwood's other Westerns. The Man With No Name movies are some of his better known and better movies. Like, I would say, possibly with the exception of Outlaw Josie Wales, Pale Rider is really close to my favorite, like, Clint Eastwood Western.
The problem
Outlaw
is
Josie Wales or High
Plains
Drifter are both
Westerns
a little
in
better,
fucking
but
forever. What made me love this movie even more and get past some of those kind of shitty things is that my dad loves Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
My dad loves John Wayne. My dad loved Western, which is fucking the weirdest thing in the world to me because he's doesn't remind me of anything close to a fucking cowboy. He doesn't do anything in his life that reminds me of a country kind of Western guy.
Right.
But he loves the shit out of him. And that's what made that it. They all of these will always hold up a little kind of place in my heart because of it. But I haven't seen these fucking movies in at least 20 years. You know, it's been so long.
You know, it's interesting because Westerns as a genre just are kind of out of fashion. And I think my dad is a huge Westerns fan, and my grandpa and my uncle were huge Western fans. And I think a big part of it is just there were a shitload of Western movies back in the day. And so they watched them and they liked them and they were coming out all the time. So they got to see them more. And the way movies were released was very different too, because you could release a movie and then like re-release it like 3 years later because there was no video market,
right.
You know? So I'm the same way. Like, I spent so many like Sunday afternoons just like being lazy on the couch while my grandpa and my uncle watched like a John Wayne movie or something. So I like John Wayne movies, not as much as I like Clint Eastwood movies. And, you know, we were talking about it a little bit, like the really Italian spaghetti westerns, like the Sergio Leone movies and like Django and stuff like that are so super violent.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a ton of fun to me, like that kind of western like exploitation movie. And these kind of fit into that niche. I remember like today when we were first like, you know, pulling the movie up. Hannah was asleep on the couch, and I thought to myself, oh, I hope she either goes and hangs out in her room because this gets kind of, you know, or stays asleep because this gets kind of rapey in the middle. And I don't know where that's at, and I really don't need my six-year-old to wake up in the middle of, like, a, you know, semi-rape scene. So, but
I thought it was a violent movie, but there's no, with the exception of the main bad guy getting killed in the end, you don't see a ton of blood.
There isn't a ton of blood.
You see, so the people get shot in the face, and it's just kind of a little black mark that you see.
Like
in the
a
face.
Red hole. Yeah.
You don't see too much. So,
guy gets shot in the hand.
I was watching it going, like, man,
part.
This is fucking violent. Like, and I don't know if it was because of the times it was made, but it was a pretty violent movie.
You know, that particular breed of Western action film, like, into, you know, in the mid 70s into like the mid 80s, they can be pretty intense, right, man. Like, there's some super fucking violent Westerns out there, and they're great. Like, I love them. I'll watch the shit out of those. But, you know, it can be kind of disconcerting because, especially if,
well, I didn't mind it. It was just something that I noticed while I was watching it. I was like, I don't remember these being so fucking like you. Usually when I think of a Western, I think of people shooting and then people falling off of buildings and shit, but you don't see it. And I'm looking through the lens of somebody who was like 7 years old, maybe.
And part of it is you probably watch it on TV, which this movie is very different on TV than it would be, you know, just watching it.
There's a lot of close-up, like, fucking dudes getting their shit blown off. Like, yeah. It's cool.
And the dude gets, like, hit right in the ball sack.
It's so funny.
Genuinely one of the funniest scenes in the movie, because as soon as he's done with it, he, like, the preacher walks over to him. He's like, all right, get up, buddy. Like, let's get you over to your horse. And he's like so kind to him after he just, like, hit him in the nuts with a sledgehammer.
He was gonna try and beat him up.
He broke that rock for them. Yeah. He was just trying to be helpful. He's just misunderstood. Like, it's funny because he kind of is a little misunderstood, and it's like, this may have been intentional. It may not have been intentional, but like, thinking of Eastwood as a director. So this guy attacks them and he gets bested. Okay. And then in the scene where the young lady is about to get raped, he is working his way through the crowd and it seems as though he's working his way through the crowd of guys to stop it. And I feel like it's meant to be like a redeeming moment for that guy because he knows he's been bested by these people and they deserve his respect kind of thing. But it kind of bums me out that he doesn't get the opportunity to like grab that dude by the scruff of the neck and throw him about 10 feet. But it's okay because the preacher
shoots. That's his fucking length of his arm.
Yeah, that's just his arm length. It's okay though because the preacher shoots that dude like right in the hand.
The things that I would say that are bad about the movie are cinema, you know, shooting style, you know, but overall, I think the movie itself is fine. It's good. You know, I definitely would give it a thumbs up. If you like Westerns, I don't know how you haven't seen this movie at this point. I'm sure everybody who likes Westerns has.
Right.
Like you said, at this point, they're not putting out
a lot
many
of Westerns.
Westerns. So you've probably gone back and you've looked at all those movies.
And most of the Westerns they are putting out are remakes.
Right,
like 310 to Yuma and like...
Oh, that was a good movie though.
Yeah.
The remake I thought was really good.
True Grit was a really good remake too. I fucking loved that movie. I love both of those movies, so...
But you know, my only things are because we've gone so far, it feels like, in how to shoot a movie and how to make a movie, that there are cheesy parts, like the spinning stick and the fucking title card that seemed to take 10 years for anything to happen. Like, I was like, what? How far are these?
But
and
part
then
of that is
people
just
perk their ears up, and it's still. I'm like,
it
how,
still takes
these
like another
guys
couple
are, like,
minutes.
The best hearing in the world. Like, it's just
I don't
weird
hear that.
To me. Yeah. It's just funny.
You
just
know,
little
it's,
things like
it's
that.
It's interesting because Clint Eastwood had already directed, I think, like 8 or 9 movies at this point. Like, he directed a few movies, but you can tell that he's still growing.
Right.
But when you get to a movie like Gran Torino, for example, that movie's solid.
It's a sad movie.
Like, it is a fucking damn near perfectly filmed movie. Mm. I mean,
damn near no action either.
Yeah,
it's fucking crazy.
It's just such a good movie. He's so racist, but so lovable. It's really weird. But you can see, like, you know, in between each movie, there's like incremental growth. You
right.
know, if you go back and watch Clint Eastwood's first directorial movie, you're like, it's all right. You know, but by the time he gets to Pale Rider, super solid movie.
Right.
By the time he gets to Unforgiven, holy shit, that's a really good movie. By the time he gets to Gran Torino, like, dude's making like Academy Award worthy
right.
movies.
If
you know,
he wasn't such a fucking weirdo.
He is kind of a weirdo, but he's like ancient. Like, and there's
yeah, he is.
There's like that part where you're like,
I feel like he's like 40 maybe in this movie.
Yeah,
and
that sounds
this
about
was
right.
a long time ago.
He was like 40 in like 1985, dude. Like, he's got to be close
he's
to 100
old.
Years old.
He's going
to
start jerking off in front
he's
of people.
Damn near
soon.
Skeletor.
No, I mean, I recommend it. I definitely
when he
plays
golf. He's all.
He can't play golf?
Dude, he plays golf all the goddamn time. I think he
Who, Donald Trump?
No. No, he does too, but we won't talk about that guy. I'm trying to not talk about that guy this episode.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
You know why I don't want to talk about him? It's because I'm from a shithole country.
Yeah. Right. I can't really say whether I am or not. I mean, the country around me is
no,
probably
I live
devolved.
In a shithole country.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, I have a pretty good life in the country, so I don't really know. It's hard for me to quantify that.
All I'm saying is I've driven across Indiana. Those are some third world country roads. Like, I'm just saying.
But it's so beautiful out there.
It is
so many sunflower fucking fields.
It's beautiful, but their highway system is fucking trashed.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks.
Yeah, I went out there for business fucking years ago at this point now, but everything is so spread out over
yeah.
there too. And but I was like, God damn, there are a lot of sunflower fields. I don't know why. It's just randomly a shit ton of sunflower fields.
You know what else?
And a
is
lot of cemeteries. A lot of cemeteries.
You know what else is rad is when you hit Ohio and there's just wind farms everywhere. It's fucking
they're
super,
cool to look at.
Super cool looking, but totally off the point.
I've done a lot of the United States. So
for me, definitely Pale Rider, real high marks. Like, this is one of my favorite westerns.
So, like, this is a movie, like I said, I haven't seen any Clint Eastwood movie, you know, aside from Gran Torino, but I haven't seen any old Clint Eastwood movie in forever.
Yeah.
I can remember The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly the best. That was like the one that I could, oh, if we were talking about Clint Eastwood, that was the one that I was like, I really enjoy that movie. But I haven't seen it in 20 years. It could be fucking garbage at this point. You know, I don't remember. That's why I'm saying it's hard to, that's why I love what we're doing, because
right.
It's beautiful that he can, that Jason can take something we haven't seen in forever and we feel for it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh shit, I don't remember this, but it's really good.
But it was,
like, it's
and
good.
It was like kind of
it's
like
a good memory.
Like, for him, it was a part of his childhood. He watched
right.
a shitload of it. Like, he watched it over and over and over again. For me, it was a part of my childhood. Like I said, one of the first westerns that I watched with my dad, where when I was done with it, I was like, holy shit, I think I like westerns. Are there more westerns like that and less of them like Angel and the Batman? Because that shit's boring. I don't care if he falls in love with that lady. You know,
I love everything about the genre. I like westerns.
I like them. I think I like a more nuanced version of westerns than just the typical, like, white hat, black hat, John Wayne movie. I do like those, but just not as much as I like.
It's different. It's
something like
this.
This
is an older time, even, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, I don't I enjoy them, but not as much.
Right.
Like, I like my cinema like post-70s, I think.
I love the attire.
Or early 30s.
I love the attire. I love that he was wearing red. It was. I don't know why.
We did talk about.
I don't know if that's supposed to mean anything, but
we did talk about what a fucking dumbass you would look like walking down the street dressed like that. Though.
You did. I said I would be scared of him. Dude, why is that cowboy fucking walking down
just
the street?
I'm just saying, a dude in a red trench coat with a top hat on is gonna get a from me no walking way, buddy. Down the street.
If he showed me his guns,
I'd be like, "We're cool. We're cool."
No cowboy on earth when he walks does do his spurs make that noise, but if he was walking down the street and you heard the cling cling, I would be fucking scared.
Well, yeah, if he had the pistols and the spurs going and stuff, I'd be like, shit, that is serious. But if it was just some dude in a top hat and a red trench coat, I'd be like, what are you, some kind of fucking ringmaster?
Right.
Like, go away. Juggalo.
But like I said, I don't know if it's supposed to mean anything because, you know, you think he's a ghost. I don't think he's a ghost. Maybe he is a ghost.
He's absolutely a ghost.
I don't know.
No. Okay, so I'm gonna put it out. And this isn't like speculation. This is something that like Clint Eastwood has said. Okay?
I don't believe him.
Dude, So the marshal that comes that they hire to come and kill him, okay? So when he describes like the look in his eye and he's like, I knew a guy like that, but that guy's dead. Okay. So then at the beginning of the movie, they show the like 6 bullet holes on his back, the scars mm-hmm. on his back. All right. So when he guns down that marshal, if you know, they show him getting shot in the front, but then they show the bullets coming out of
right.
the back. The bullet pattern is the same as his back was.
Right.
And when he sees him, like before he gets shot,
right.
when he sees him at the end of the street, he doesn't recognize him until their eyes lock and it's his
right.
eyes. Okay. And then obviously at the end of the movie, he like fades off into the distance. But like the idea is that
fade. He just
galloped. He just galloped. Ride off. It's not as explicit as in High Plains Drifter, he like rides off and like the heat waves like missed him out and he like literally disappears
right.
as he's riding away. But the implication is supposed to be that he is the vengeful spirit
right.
of a guy that he killed.
Yeah, I don't think that's true though.
That is 100% true. Like Clint Eastwood said that's the story.
Clint Eastwood spoke to a chair for a whole fucking convention.
This is true.
So.
He did. You're right. His credibility is pretty fucking shot. So good point.
No, but I don't know. I'm sure it's supposed to mean something.
It is. So,
but it looked. You know, like I said, for how it was shot, it looked different and unique in it. Because of that, it was beautiful. It was something I had remarked, like, I love the that trench coat look because it doesn't look like
it's different.
It doesn't look like all of the other cowboys that were in this fucking movie. You know, they typically have the weird looking hat and the tan outfit with the black boots and shit. You can pretty much tell, like, all of these cowboys look exactly the same.
I do love the miner who literally has a busted ass hat. Like, he's got like the seam that's just like broken, his hat's open on the top. I was like, somebody spent a lot of work to make that hat
to
look broken.
It. But I don't know if it's supposed to represent something, and maybe we're just looking too much into a 1980s fucking movie.
We're not.
But you know, if he's really supposed to be a ghost, which maybe he is.
He's supposed to be a ghost.
I just like disputing with you because it's fun.
I know. You're just being a dick to me.
But that's, I mean, he definitely looks different. Like, if he rode into my town at that time, I would think something was going on, because it's nobody dresses like that, you know
right.
what I mean? He definitely looks like he could be, and it goes back to when you said, you know, when he hits the fucking dude and then he helps him, you know, I feel like he's the ghost or the spirit that's like, I don't really want
to
hurt you, but if you keep attacking us,
yeah.
like, I have no other choice. And that's cool. It was a cool choice to put him in something that looked very different than
so that he stands
him.
Out.
Right.
Like, putting him in the preacher's collar, putting him in the
right.
red trench coat, giving him a top hat instead of a cowboy
right.
hat. Like, all of those things point to like the differentness
right.
of him. It's cool. Really good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Jason, Keep it up,
bud. Doyle, you suck.
We hope you're not dead.
Oh, shit, he's going to come back. He's the Pale Rider.
He's
going
to come back and shoot us some shit. He's all, you motherfuckers.
Gabe Lalanis.
Why are you wearing a top hat?
It's too fucking small.
It's bullshit. Your head looks stupid. Wait, are you a ghost? That's what we don't know is ghosts wear top hats. Right. That's the lesson we've learned watching
Tale. P.T. Barnum was a demon.
God, don't get me started on that shit again, man. I just went off on poor Bailey about that for like 10 minutes.
She, to be fair, she didn't
she
fucking
gave
listen to
zero
you.
Fucks. Yeah. She never listens to me.
She's like, go ahead, Dad. Say what you're going to say. I'm not really listening to you. Oh, man. So, next...
Next, we are watching one of the show's picks.
Yeah, we get one every three times.
I think this was kind of my pick because Juan had talked about being on a time travel kick.
I was watching some time traveling movies,
And I was like, have you seen this? And he said, no. And I said, we have to watch it. So
I like everything time travel. I don't give a fuck if it's shitty.
You're going to actually really dig this one, though. If you don't, I'll be surprised, like genuinely. We're going to be watching Primer, which is...
2004,
probably the lowest budget time travel movie you are going to see. I was trying to explain it to Ashton a couple weeks ago, and it has effectively no special effects, but still manages to be an incredibly evocative and really well made movie. So
I was trying to see if there's anybody like super famous in it, but it doesn't.
There is not. It's just a couple guys.
I was looking at producers and shit, but it doesn't look like anything.
Yeah, totally independent, like really low budget. But really well made. Then after that, we'll be watching pretty much the opposite of Primer. Thanks, Doyle. We'll be watching The Interview with James Franco and...
Seth Rogen?
Is it Seth Rogen?
I think it's Seth
Rogen.
Yeah,
it is. Oh, yeah, because he keeps the thing up his ass. I remember now.
I haven't seen this movie
ever. Oh, my God.
Ever.
This movie is so stupid. So you know what you should do?
It's because I don't think I had Netflix at the time.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to go out into the theater, and then people fucked that all up, and then they put it on Netflix, and I don't think I ever watched it ever since
Kim
then.
Jong-un fucked that up. What you should do is come over to my house, get all weeded, and then watch it.
No, I'm not
going
to get weeded.
Dude, that's what you should do.
I've never gotten weeded one time.
You got
in my
weeded
whole life.
With me one time,
no,
and it was super hilarious.
I never got weeded.
You even said to me, I think I'm weeded. Weeded.
That's secondhand.
And then you
weeded.
Went.
I always laugh like that.
I know. That's true.
That's secondhand. Maybe weeded. I'm talking about I've only really got weeded.
Well, then
one
you
time.
Should really get weeded and watch the interview with me.
Alicia will divorce me.
Oh, well, then don't do that.
Just I don't know what she would do.
She'd be like,
what
are
the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm weeded.
I don't think I would be able to control myself.
You'd be just taking.
I have no idea what would
turning
happen.
Into a 95-year-old man and jerking it all over the place.
What the fuck is Juan doing, Gabe?
He's playing Stanley.
He's cosplaying.
He's either cosplaying Harvey Weinstein or Stanley. I'm not sure which. Oh, man.
If he tries to put you in the movie, it's Weinstein.
And then after the interview, we are going to be watching Arnold Schwarzenegger in Conan the Barbarian. So
no, you can't skip Jason.
No, we're not skipping Jason.
Yes, you are.
No. It goes us, Doyle, us, Jason. Because it's...
I thought it went...
Because there's...
I thought it went
so
us,
at patreon.com...
I thought it went us, Jason, Doyle, us, Jason,
no,
Doyle.
Sorry, us, Doyle, us, Jason. So it's Primer is us, Doyle, which is the interview, then us, which is Conan, and then Jason has a pick.
Oh, weird. That's a weird way to set that up.
Well, no, it's so that we have control of every other episode, because there's one more tier if you go to patreon.com.
Well, yeah, and then that's why I thought then we wouldn't get any choice.
That's
then.
At $50 a month.
Right.
You do that and you get two choices, but so that you don't get two choices, your choice, it goes... Person
this
that
is so weird.
Person that gives $50, Doyle. Person that gives $50, Jason.
Oh, all right. That's weird. But all right.
Just so that breaks it up for him. All right, so.
Cool.
But yeah.
I'm sorry, Jason. I fought for you.
Whatever. Fuck you. He'll have a pick right after Conan. We'll get to it in a few episodes. It's going to be awesome.
I'm sorry, Jason.
Oh, shut up. So,
if you don't think your money's worth, I understand.
Oh, blame Gabe. Do not tell him that. It is worth your money. We appreciated your email and your input. We like you very much. And Juan is a fucking dick.
I'm a dick. I'm trying to give him more choices.
You're not. He gets the same amount of choices no matter what. No. Every four episodes, he gets to pick one.
That doesn't make any sense.
How does that not make any sense? Every four episodes, we gave Doyle extra picks because we didn't have anybody else to pick.
Yeah, we're going Primer. I'm ignoring you now.
Fine, we'll go Primer, The Interview, Jason's next pick, and then we'll pick every third one. Okay,
that's what I thought we were doing.
All right, we'll do that.
I don't know why you're getting so angry.
I'm not. I was just confused.
So angry.
So we need.
Are you weeded?
I'm always weeded.
This is terrible podcasting material.
I am always weeded.
Okay, Primer next, and then The Interview.
And then Jason will choose. You got to hit us up with another one.
All right, brother.
And then after that, Conan.
Yeah.
Because you need to watch Conan. Dude.
All right.
I'm telling you, it's a good movie. See, now you actually are making the snoring noise. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back with an old man pick.
Everybody, it's Clyde from the Old Still Radio Show, and this is why you need to listen to us. Number one, we may not be the biggest podcast out there.
I like being the underdog.
But we are one of the best.
It's magic. Yeah. It really is.
Secondly, we have a southern charm, and we tend to make a lot of sense.
I mean, he can't molest anybody when he's dead.
Right. And I hate to tell you people, we're pretty fucking funny.
Is that hilarious?
Yeah. But let's not forget about our most important part, the weather girl.
We never talked about the weather. You're the weather girl. Nope.
That's sugar tits for those who don't know.
It's not hilarious. Welcome. That's going to get you cut.
So if you haven't gotten a feel for it, this is what the show is like, and we invite you guys to come out and check us out. We are the Old Still Radio Show with number two, Preach, Clyde, and Sugar Tits. Find us at www.oldstillradioshow.com or on Facebook at Old Still Radio Show or on Twitter at Old Still Radio. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. So, y'all come on out and check out the Old Still Radio Show. We guarantee you're going to have a good time.
This is Robert Kurtzman, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
I know you're tired. You got to get up to go to work.
Yeah, like 4:30 in the morning.
Such a bitch.
What time do you get up to go to work in the morning?
7.
Yeah, shut up.
7:03 to be exact.
7.
I don't know why. It's just the number I chose.
That's weird. You like scrolled past 7 o'clock to 7:03. You're like, meh.
And then I don't get out of bed until 7:40. And then I take a shower. And then I go to work at 8:10. I get there by 8:40, which is about 10 minutes late every day.
I wake up at 4:30 to get out the door by 5:20 to get to work.
It doesn't take me very long to do stuff, so I need maybe 20 minutes before I go to take a shower and get ready.
I think that to myself, and then the one day I sleep in, I'm like 10 minutes late. I'm like,
well, that's
why
I don't sleep in, so I'll wake up at 7:03 and then just chill out in bed with Alicia until I have to get up and go take a shower. We're recording again, and this is the fucking worst again.
What's wrong with this?
It's just funny.
People enjoy this.
People are like, what?
And we're back.
You're like, I don't give a fuck. What the fuck is he talking about?
My old man shit for this week is that I usually have to be at bed by 9 o'clock.
Yeah, he's being a little bitch.
No,
it's his fault we're recording tonight, and now he's being all lame.
Like, I do want to apologize to you on air about this, that I care, though. I scheduled, like, a derby practice, not thinking about our recording schedule, and as soon as Mel was like, isn't that the weekend that you record? I was like, fuck. I literally just told 30 people to be there, like, that morning. So, like, it kind of screwed things up, and I apologize.
That's all right.
It's kind of fun recording at night.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different for sure.
Smells different, feels different.
I don't know that it smells any different in here. It might.
You know what it kind of feels like?
I'm having coffee and shit,
kind of feels like Thinking Outside the Long Box after hours, 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 hours.
I'm still having coffee and shit, so I'm still tired.
I'm still weak.
So, yeah, yeah. It's essentially the same except for it's dark outside.
Yeah, that's all right. Still after hours.
We just got done having a riveting conversation about our schedule for this year.
I know.
It's pretty crazy, man.
We're going to be doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We got... we're going to Denver Comic Con no matter what. I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't give a fuck if they give me press badges or not. I'll be there.
Don't say that. Bleep that out.
Well, why? I mean, I do, but I'm just saying. we always have a spot at John's table if we don't.
But I definitely want to go as press because it's easier to walk around with a microphone without getting yelled at.
I don't think we will. Honestly, I don't think we will. I think we can just walk up to him and be like, "Hey, we're from this podcast. Would you mind having an interview with us?"
I don't think
many people are like, "Oh, they're press." Like, yeah, I'll have an interview with you.
People were pretty excited that I was wearing a press badge, especially in Artist Alley.
I think that's what you told yourself while they were in front of you.
But destroy the lie, the fragile lie that I've created in my mind. Like, okay, so I'm going to tell this story really quick. So today was like my first official like derby practice that I was like kind of running as like
I feel sorry for those kids.
One of the coaches, you know. I was super, super weeded last night.
Buddy.
And I went to go get something to drink out of the fridge. And I just had this fleeting thought of, I'm so nervous for tomorrow. And then in my brain, it was just like, I'm nervous. I'm really nervous. Stop thinking about how nervous you are.
And then I smoked more weed.
Yeah, and then I got better. But like, there's been times where like I'm sitting on the couch thinking to myself, why do people care what you think? Why in the world do you do this? And then I get over it because I'm like, who cares what people think? Like, I fucking love doing this. That's all I care about.
Are we talking about
the podcast?
Coaching or the pod? Well, okay. Well, I was like, I don't know where you're talking about. But
no, just that like sensibility of like, I'm so nervous. Like, I'm going to fail at this thing. So like when you tell me things like, no, people don't care. I'm like, oh shit, they really don't. Oh my God, no.
People don't care.
They don't.
But I personally don't do this for... You know, for those people, I don't care.
We
could have five listeners, and that's fine.
I would prefer to have more than five.
Well,
listeners.
I'm saying we do it as an excuse to get together. We had dinner tonight. Families got together. Right. We had fun. I mean, I like talking about shit, and that's why it's out there. The extra that comes with it that people are listening and people pay attention and people give us money to do some shit
and participate
is cool.
With us.
Yeah, like that's very cool.
The email that we got from Jason, genuinely like one of the highlights of recording this podcast that we've had, like being able to read someone's thoughts on air that they send us as an email is like a really cool thing.
And it's really cool. It was really good put together. We didn't read the other half, Jason, because we're not reading that yet.
Because
we're still supposedly putting on a contest, even though you and one other person are the only ones who fucking said anything.
Well, that's two people that are competing against each other. But seriously,
and I like Megan. Megan's cool.
Your plan, though, is also awesome. Yeah. Like, and who knows? In the end, it might be an amalgamation of a few of the ideas, but
I like it. It was really cool. It was put together. It was goddamn itinerary. Like, holy shit, it was good. I was like, I couldn't have thought of this shit if I had 10 years.
It's hilarious, and I'm super excited, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
This
year, it's just going to be really fun to watch Doyle and John compete against each other.
These two big guys.
John's going to wipe the floor with Doyle.
I don't know, man. If we do some other non-physical stuff, like
food eating thing.
There's not, I mean, and John is really, I don't know anything about Doyle's intellect. I don't know how smart or dumb he is.
He's pretty smart.
So that's what I'm saying. So if we do like those kinds of things as well, it could be heated up until John smokes him in the swimming pool. You know what I mean?
Right.
So who fucking knows? Like,
who knows? We do the swimming pool first. John has an early lead.
Right.
Some nose. It's going to be fucking riveting podcasting, guys. It's going to be amazing.
This year's going to be cool. I mean, we literally have Denver Comic Con in June. Whether it goes press or not, like I said, I don't care in the end. We're going to go cover it no matter what. And then we have San Diego Comic Con in July, and we'll be there for 5 days. we'll be there for 2 days, 2 or 3 days together. But you'll be covering the whole event. I'll be there for 2 days so that it doesn't fuck up my whole family vacation.
Right.
And then in, I think August is fucking Colorado Springs yeah. Comic Con. And then we'll have probably an event at the Crest smashed in there somewhere. And then we'll have this charity event smashed in there somewhere.
Probably, I'm thinking like September, October-ish.
Well, if we're going to do pool, you might want to do it somewhere in the warmer time. Pool. Maybe. We'll see how non-suey they want, you know.
Well, no.
I don't want anybody to do anything crazy and then like die or some shit.
We'll definitely have to have them sign some liability waiver of some sort.
Well, I mean, we'll figure it out. And then, you know, I'm going to Cuba, which is fucking cool as shit. Right. I cannot wait to do that. It was a goal of mine. And I'm going to try. So this is a weird – we're going on a cruise.
Yeah.
But this is a weird – it's a weird cruise. If you've ever been on a cruise before, I don't know if you have or if anybody listening has. It only has one port, and that's Havana. So you go there, and then you spend 2.5 days only in Havana. Typically, you spend two or three places on a cruise. So you would go to you know, the Caribbean, and you know, you'd go to Cozumel, and then you'd go to some other Mexico place, fucking who knows.
Right.
But this one only is Havana, which is really cool. So I'll get to spend 2.5 days doing that and partying on the boat and shit. But I'm going to see if there's time to reach out to one or so people to see if I can get an undercover kind of interview or something for the show. I'm going to take my recording equipment so we can record up there as well. So it'll be kind of showy and shit, but we'll see. Like, I'm excited to try and integrate the show a little bit while we're up there for our 10-year anniversary. So.
And like I said, I feel like it's a good opportunity for us to scout for trying to actually go to Cuba right. for an episode of the show. So
I've seen, I mean, I, you know, I haven't seen all the YouTube videos and shit I've seen are probably 8 to 10 months old. And the one I showed you is an Asian gentleman, and he's funny.
Yeah.
When he does this couple of videos that I've seen, and he's like, I because like we did before we knew anything, we worried about how we would get there and how many questions they would ask and all of these things. And, he did the same thing. And then he's like, and I recorded the whole event for you undercover so that you could see the process of me going through the line. And it's literally, he hands her the paper and she's like, okay, next. And she don't even look at the paper.
Right.
And he's like, I wish she would have at least looked at it. This thing that I poured a lot of like fear and worry into, and she didn't give one fuck about it. He just went in. And I've heard of, you know, there's been a couple of other vloggers, that have done the same thing. You know, they've crossed one little check off of the mark for the 12 reasons that you can get in, and nobody's said anything to them. So it's cool. I'm excited to go. We'll see.
We will. It'll be awesome.
This year has a lot of shit packed into it. I feel like
every year that we do the show, it gets a little bigger, a little better. We do a little bit more stuff, and it continues to be amazingly fun. So I'm going to talk to a few people that I know that may be out there for San Diego, and hopefully meet some of the people that we've like interviewed and talked to in person for the first time. It should be a lot of fun. So
I honestly think San Diego will be your highlight of the year as far as this goes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what you're going to do family wise, so I can't say overall, but,
nah, it'll be fine.
But I really think this will be your highlight of the year. There's a lot of people who shit on San Diego because I've never been, and two, because they think that it's the big con that's trying to push everybody out the way, you know, that kind of bullshit. It is what it is. Maybe they are, who knows, but I like it. This will be year three going for me, and it's fucking enjoyable. It's super super fun. There's fucking tons going on.
Right.
You don't have to have a ticket to go to San Diego in order to enjoy what's going on, because all of the stuff that's outside of the convention center is free.
Right.
You just get in line and you go do it. You don't need a ticket. And there's a lot of off-site things that happen.
Right.
The Bright, they did the screening of Bright last year. It was off-site. You just had to be there in line. You may have to wait like 8 hours to get in,
right.
But it was something you didn't have to pay for. It was cool.
Nice. I'm excited. I'm really excited for
yeah.
it.
So. We just got our first first email being San Diego Press that had to do with diamonds. So I'm excited for what's to come. We'll see. We'll see how many things I can fit into your schedule.
Yeah, I'm going to be busy as fuck. I can already tell. I'm excited for that, though.
Like, it's fucking fun.
I want to do it. Like, it's going to be rad. Who knows? I may just stay awake for 5 days.
It's a lot, bro.
I might end up be hallucinatory at the end, but
we may. I'm sure we're gonna keep our mine and John's long-standing tradition of 2 years of Hollywood Babylon. So we'll see. That'll be your first one, huh? You've never gone.
I've never seen Hollywood Babylon.
It's so funny,
dude. Yeah, I know. I listen to it every week.
It's even better in person, though.
Oh, I'm sure it is. 'Cause you get to watch Kevin Smith actually put the mic down his mouth.
Yes, yeah. It's beautiful.
That's a weird way to put that.
No, it's beautiful.
So, old man pick.
Old man pick.
My old man pick this week is just actually reading comic books. You know, I haven't had a ton of spare time. I've been busy with Derby, the kids' school, doing the podcast stuff, just the new job and all this shit. You know, this last week, I just buckled down. I was like, man, I've got like probably 24 trades that I need to get through. I've got 2 short boxes of comics that I need to get to. And I was just like, I'm going to fucking read a bunch of comic books. So I picked up In Call. I'm like about 3/4 of the way through Murder Ballads. I started 7 to Eternity. Like I read a shitload of comic books, you know, and it was just, there's that feeling of, you know, when you're opening a book for the first time, you've never read it. You know you like the artist, you know you like the writer, you know you like this, you know you like that.
Right.
So you're going into it pretty confident that, this is going to be a lot of fun or this is going to be really interesting. Judas was a really good example too, where I was like, you know, I don't know anything about the writer or artist, but I really think the subject matter is cool.
Right.
So you crack it open. You're seeing the art for the first time. The book just kind of washes over you. You read it. You get done with it. And you like got to go to like this weird little place for like a little bit. You know, in your mind, you're in like this different world. You know, you're with John DeFool falling through like, you know, the mega city, or you have the In Call inside of yourself, or you're, you know, on the road with like the guy that robs a liquor store to pay for the blues album that he wants to produce. You know, there's just so many different like worlds and exciting things to read about and be excited about in comic books. And because it's like a visual and read medium, it's this amazing mixture of being able to see it, but also see it in your mind, because the movement on the page you have to put together, because you're seeing these little snapshots, you know? So it's just a really cool combination of watching a movie and reading a book.
Even with pictures, even comic book, even though comic books are a picture medium, of, you know, photographic medium, you have to have an imagination.
Yeah.
You can't just look at those, you know, 9 boxes and not imagine what's going on. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel right. It won't be like when you're reading a regular book with just words. You have to put yourself in the situation, because it's just words. These are just stationary photos. So you have to move them yourself. You know, you've got to imagine, like you said, you know, you're bank robbing, or you have to imagine you're in the field with, you know, the girl in Harrow County or whatever. You have to imagine what's going on, or it won't grab you. You'd just be like, what is this?
You know, and some books don't grab you because of that, because the movement on the page doesn't like enliven your imagination. But, you know, you try to make those decisions. You buy books that sound appealing to you, that sound interesting to you. And over time you get a feel for, I'm going to like this kind of book, or I'm going to like this kind of book. But what's amazing about comic books is there's literally something for everybody. You like science fiction, you like horror, you like comedy, you like romance, you like, you know, you want to read a comic book about people sacrificing babies to the devil, that exists. You want to read a comic book about Jesus, baby Jesus on Christmas causing miracles, that book exists. Like everything you can think of, everything that interests you, somebody's written a comic book about it, you know, and if they haven't, somebody's going to, because somebody's going to, like we were talking about earlier with movies. Somebody's going to find a niche that they fit right into, and they're going to write that thing that doesn't exist yet.
And if you don't think it's out there, fucking write it.
Exactly. Do it yourself.
Find somebody to draw it for you.
Or if you're really good at drawing and can't write, find somebody to write it for you.
That's what – there's a new episode that's coming out today, 2 weeks ago from when you're listening to this.
2 weeks ago today.
Yeah, but I listened to the – I finally edited the Mark Morse and the Zach Davison interview.
Nice.
Because we didn't need it until now. And that's what they say. You know, we found each other through Inktober. And you know, Mark is the drawer, the artist that I needed, you know, and Zach was the writer that I needed, even though I don't think Zach draws, but I know that Mark
he does, but not like that.
I know that Mark writes,
right.
So they'll send each other, they'll bounce ideas off of each other, but. It's, you know, you just find that perfect match that's out there for you. Find, you know, go through a couple people if you've got an idea. You know, it's the point is just do something. Like, you don't have to just read what other people are doing. If you think that there needs to be a, you know, if two dummies sitting around, you know, fucking recording a podcast, if that's the comic book, and that's what I'm saying. But if that's the comic book you want to see, like, do it. You know what I mean?
I don't know. It's cool. So getting to read a bunch of comic
books. I haven't read anything. Like, it's been so – I have two short boxes. I
recommend it.
I have two short boxes that I need to catch up on. I read a lot of Hellblazer, but now – we just went to John's 2 weeks ago, so I have a few more, I'm sure.
Right.
I read two Harrow Counties, but there's still five more in my stack that I need to get to. And then I need to add the bag that I got from John's into the short boxes. So I'm just behind.
I genuinely think I'm like 15 to 20 issues behind. Like, I'm really excited.
I think I'm only two or three behind on The Walking Dead, because that's usually right when I unpack them, that goes to the front, so I can't read them.
I literally read a year of Manifest Destiny right before the year
that
end
sounded
show.
So good, and I haven't. Oh, I just I don't want to
fucking phenomenal.
I don't want to add another book to my line that I don't read. You know what I mean? So it's just not something I want to do yet.
There's the dog. He doesn't come down here very often.
But I do it with everything. I'm in September in podcasts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just I don't have time. I'm always.
Man, I have enough time at work now that I'm so caught up on podcasts that I'm like listening to them week to week. I'm like, this is weird. Like, I'm so used to listening to 30 episodes of something.
I don't know what we were talking about.
Neither do I. So let's wrap the show up.
Oh, comic books. That's what we were talking about.
Well, yeah. We like comic books.
Yay.
Yay. Go read them. Should they read comic books?
Yeah.
I'm talking to Felicity. I'm not talking to our listeners. I'm talking to a cutie little girl. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. It's been episode 78 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. There are several different ways that you can participate with us. You can go to facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, or you can go to Instagram or Twitter at Outside Long Box, or you can find us on the Gmails, or I guess just send us an email at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com.
Yeah, don't find us. I don't even know how that would
yeah,
work.
Neither do I. But the easiest way to get all of that information is to go to our website, www.totlb.com. There are basically two really good ways that you can support us. You can go to amazon.totlb.com, and that will take you right to the Amazon search engine, where you can search for pretty much anything that we talked about on this episode, buy it for yourself, and we get a little bit of a kickback from that. Or you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB, and you can participate with us and get some extra videos and some cool swag, and also maybe make us watch horrible movies like Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, Doyle. I hope you're in the hospital.
Not dying, though.
Not dying, yeah.
Yeah.
Just severely hurt.
Or, like, dying but bequeathing us all your money.
Maybe like a colostomy bag.
Oh, that's messy. But anyway, thank you so much to all our Patreon supporters. We really appreciate you guys. You help keep the lights on, I guess.
Yes.
Like, as it were, so.
We'll keep the lights on like Motel 8.
Like Motel 6.
Oh, 6.
6, yeah.
Motel 8? Is that a motel?
I'm sure it is. I feel like there's probably like a Motel 1 through 10.
Oh, maybe.
I would hope so.
Is Motel 1 like the best or the worst?
It's probably the worst. I'm gonna say like Motel 1 is like that. It's a 1.
Okay.
I'm gonna give I'm gonna give that a 1 out of 10. But be sure to check us out, patreon.com/TOTLB. Sorry, total brain fart.
Slash.
I'm trying to say words. You can also get a hold of us by calling the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline at 970-573-6148. Leave us a message. We'll play it on air. I heard Jonathan Blackshire's latest episode or latest message. It makes almost no sense. Like, it's awesome. But
yeah, I wasn't sure, and so I couldn't remember if I put the one before this one in the last episode, so I put both of them in this one.
Nice.
So, but he's the only one we haven't had a Michael Kirk fucking call him forever.
Oh, he doesn't like us anymore.
Yeah, but he was in this episode that's coming
out. It's because his wife found out about the midget porn stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Who knows?
May he rest in peace. With that said, this has been episode 78 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
And we will see you very soon, because I'm standing right outside your window watching you cosplay as Stan Lee.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Bye.
Guys, what's up? This is Clyde from the Old Still Radio Show, or, you know, as you like to call it, the Old Still Radio Time Hour. Bullshit. We got a situation here. Got this guy here, Jonathan, from the Lamp Show. He says he's a friend of yours. We went ahead and plied him up with a lot of moonshine. Doubtful that he's going to really remember anything after tonight, because he drank a lot of moonshine. We're talking, you know, Roseanne Barr on a weeknight amount of moonshine. We're talking Frank the Tank at a sorority mixer amount of moonshine. We're talking Doyle on a lonely night with Pornhub amount of moonshine. So, if he survives, when he wakes up, we're just going to go ahead and send him back up to you guys via FedEx. Is that all right? I mean, I've got your address here, because he's got this little tag on the inside of his homemade underwear that says, "If found, look up my show, The Lamp Show, on Twitter at PYUTAROS. That's Pyutaros? Huh? Who knows? And it says, "After checking out my show on Twitter, please return me to my friends at Thinking Outside the Long Box." It's got your physical address here, and then it's got your Twitter handle, at Outside Long Box. Or I know your Facebook is at Thinking Outside the Long Box, but Twitter's at Outside Long Box. You know, that's kind of like mine. On Twitter, I'm Old Still Radio, but on Facebook, I'm Old Still Radio Show, because, you know, we had bigger handles on Facebook back then, but now on Twitter, well, we don't want to update it now, because then nobody could find us. Yeah, anyway, you know how it works. So when you get this Jonathan guy back, please ignore the rope marks around his neck, and don't ask why he smells like goat. You don't want to know. Apparently, he just got out of prison. Let's leave it at that. Oh, and guys, nice try, but you still don't know my real name. All right, gotta go be a runner. I mean, gotta run, and I'll check you guys soon.
Lamb show.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe, The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.